presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound, that's the blow, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Ooh, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Where do I begin this morning? where do I begin? I've thought about this. I have to begin with this. I have to begin with this because it's just absurd. It is just absurd. How is it? Why is it? How can it be that our good government, after making the decision that we are going to raise the student loan interest rate 35%. Y'all need to get your student loans consolidated and locked in at your lower rates because it's going to go up 35%. That was in the Deficit Reduction Act that was passed by our good Congress this year. How's that feel? How's that feel? The Deficit Reduction Act. Well, here we have our children. Not only do they come out of school with the highest debt of any generation, the needless debt of any generation, but now they have to pay even more debt. Now they acquire even more debt. I look at the extraordinary fiscal waste. I look at the extraordinary fiscal waste of this person, of this administration. The billions of dollars a month that we're spending on a war. And then I look at what the FBI did at a farm in Michigan. In the grand picture of things, it's not a whole lot of money, if they're telling the truth about it. The FBI's excellent adventure to try to locate the body of Jimmy Hoffa. There were FBI agents there. There were cadaver sniffing dogs. There were forensic people there. There were laborers that were hired to dig, as well as laborers hired to tear down a barn that they have to rebuild. They spent weeks and weeks there. They're saying that it costs more than they expected, you think. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000. That's what they're telling us. I don't believe that. I believe it costs a lot more. And I have to ask myself, when our babies are paying more money, more stupid money, to get an education, we are working very hard to compete with other countries, education-wise, technology-wise, training our people. And now it's even more expensive, which means that even more people will not have jobs. So how is it that we can spend this much money on digging up the bones of Jimmy Hoffa? Let me ask you this. Jimmy Hoffa was killed in 1976, 75, 76, 86, 96, 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Now, I am certain, although I'm no criminologist, I'm no FBI agent, I'm no CIA agent, but I think I can say with comfort that there are thousands of dead Americans that are unaccounted for that we've accumulated since 1976. Thousands of us. Why would our government... Do you think that if your mother had been missing for 30 years, do you think that the FBI would bust a grape to go dig up somebody's farm at the tune of over $250,000 to find out if she was there and then say, oops, Now, and then not charge you for the cost of it? You think that they would? You think that they would have that much interest in your family? And this is the question that I think that we need to ask as members of a democracy. Should we be spending this kind of money? Should we be spending this kind of money on digging up the bones of someone like Jimmy Hoffa? Should we? Aren't there terrorists around every corner? Don't they have phones they need to be tapping? $250,000. Oh, and did I mention they didn't find anything? It's just I don't know, is it a distraction? Is it an in-your-face statement to us that we don't matter? That we'll spend your money any doggone way we decide to? Who made the decision? Who gave the go-ahead for this debacle? And isn't there some kind of balancing act? Because if there isn't a balancing act of, okay, yeah, it would be nice to solve this, but it's cost too much money, so in the interest of being able to put the money into this investigation for finding someone who was supposedly alive, we're going to say no to that $250,250,000 adventure. Isn't there some kind of balancing act? And if there isn't, why aren't they looking that hard for the thousands of people that are missing since 1976? Come on. We don't matter to them. This administration has been about wasting our money on a whim. And distracting us. Maybe it is a distraction. Maybe they want people like me to spend the time talking about digging up Jimmy Hoffa or another Geraldo opening up the crypt and finding nothing there adventure. Our FBI has been Geraldolized. Maybe that's what they want us to do. Rather than talk about the fact that, and I don't understand this. How many of you, raise your hands if it's true, heard the news make a big deal about the almost 200 points that the Dow Jones dropped yesterday? Almost 200 points, 180 something points. Dropped yesterday. You know why? Walmart. You know Walmart said? Walmart said, wow. People didn't spend as much money last month. Why? Because people are worried about gasoline prices. And the stock market took a tumbling down. Maybe that's what our good government wants us to turn our heads from. The fact that focus on Jimmy Hoffa. And don't focus on the fact that high gas prices are and also the consumer price index took a nosedive as well. And the stock market went tumbling down. Yet and still, we'll hear people say that our economic situation, our economic environment is a good one, it's a strong one. What the, huh? It's good? It's all good out here? How could that possibly be? The stock market took a huge tumble yesterday. And we're not hearing a whole lot of news about it. I know, and I don't mean hours and hours spent on it. I just mean heads up. Heads up. These are remarkable times that we are living in. Maybe that's why they want us to maybe that's why the FBI decided to go after Hoffa, to give folks a distraction. because things are not going well out there. Oh, out here. Things are not going well. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, did I mention? And again, maybe they want us to keep talking about Jimmy Hoffa because they don't want us to see that the United States has sent more troops into Iraq. Huh? More troops into Iraq, you say? Absolutely. More troops have been sent into Iraq. Maybe they want us to keep talking about Jimmy Hoffa because it'll stop us. It'll distract us from talking about the photographs taken by a Marine intelligence team have convinced investigators that a Marine unit killed as many as 24 unarmed Iraqis, and many of them execution style. Huh? And that they did it after a roadside bomb killed an American in November. Maybe they want us to keep talking about looking at Hoffa, laughing about Hoffa, giggling about Hoffa, making jokes about Hoffa, so that we turn our heads and don't see that the photographs that were taken show wounds to the upper bodies of the victims. The victims included 6 children, some shot in the head, some shot in the back. Maybe they don't want us to see that, feel that, know that, get that. This is an event that happened on November 19th. A massacre that the one government official is saying that Marines from Camp Pendleton suffered a total breakdown in morality and leadership with tragic results. Maybe our good government wants us to keep talking about would rather us talk about the waste of the Jimmy Hoffa excellent adventure into nothingness. Maybe they'd rather us talk about that than talk about we now have our own My Lai massacre, Iraqi style. Maybe that's why they don't want us. Maybe that's why they want us to keep chattering on about Jimmy Hoffa. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Steve.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think this all could be summarized by what the venerable toady Bill Frist just recently said when they signed this immigration bill in the Senate, passed this immigration bill. It expresses the will of the Senate. You know, it's not the will of the American people.
No,
anymore.
It is not.
It's the will of a certain group of people to think they're far above the rest of us. And just like the old Roman days, I mean, they had their Senate. It was filled with the patricians. And the patricians were representatives of family clans. And that seems like what we've got up there now is just a certain group of families calling the shots across this nation. No longer in the name of the American citizen. It's in the will of the Senate. And I think that can summarize it all. We don't matter.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'll be back.
Chucks. Spend it all. I have
know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
WGNU presents Speaking Truthfully, a program examining current events from a Christian perspective and designed to provide a common sense approach to overcoming life's everyday problems. Topics for discussion include health issues, the criminal justice system, as well as Christian counseling. Join attorneys Donnell Smith and Tanya McAlpine along with Pastor James T. Morris for Speaking Truthfully every Saturday night at 8 on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. Brought to you by Shepherd's Rock Christian and Legal Counseling Services.
Hi, I'm Carrie Verschel.
And I'm Elaine Adams.
Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
The ladies' room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the ladies' room.
And good morning. WGNU News Time is 6:31. Time for a look at traffic on the half hour, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. On Interstate 44 on either side of Highway 109, all traffic has been switched to the eastbound lanes because of road construction. There are two lanes open in each direction. The eastbound traffic is heavy through the construction zone. Westbound 255 between the JB Bridge and I-55, traffic is moving well. No problems to report on eastbound 70 between Cave Springs and the Blanchette Bridge. Traffic is in good shape on northbound 55 between Richardson and I-270. Traffic on the go eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270. Southbound 270 between 44 and Gravois, the right lane is closed due to some late running road work. Downtown, westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street, traffic is moving well. Westbound 64 at 5570, no problems to report. Northbound 3 at 5570, traffic is in good shape there as well. And no problems to report eastbound on the Dr. King Bridge at the landing. We do have a report of an accident with injuries on the North Service Road just west of the Pacific exit. And let's see, one more note for you. In both directions on Highway 61 at I-70, there's road construction. The roadway is reduced to one lane. Traffic being brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, does the corner repair shop use genuine Toyota parts? Well, your Toyota dealer does, and through July, if you visit participating Toyota dealers, you get an oil change and a multi-point inspection for only $24.95 from your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. WGNU News Time is 6:33, the weather forecast for the WGNU listening area for the last day of May. Calls for showers and thunderstorms possible, developing later this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low in the upper 60s. And for Thursday, periods of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, the high in the lower 80s. We have 72 degrees here at WGNU, and we'll get back to the wake-up call with Liz Brown in just a moment. Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
looking for time made just for you. Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed, have some questions adults just can't seem to answer, there is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens, on 920 AM, 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
So let's say you go shopping, and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. What do you think? That would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, and just a heads up, put this on your calendar. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock in our Justice for Reggie segment, we're going to have the discussion because we talk about the death penalty and how wrong the death penalty is and the impact of the death penalty, how it is executed in this country, the policies, how they are executed, how people are executed. We're going to have we're going to have a minister round table. Talk about it. Because a lot of folks think that the Bible says, that God says we're supposed to be executing people. So, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a discussion on the death penalty, a minister's round table. Is there wiggle room in thou shalt not kill? We're going to have that discussion tomorrow. And then on Friday, Minister Akbar Muhammad is going to be joining the Wake Up Call, and we're going to be looking at the world black and brown. We're going to be talking about Africa. We're going to be talking about Latin America. We're going to have some amazing guests on to talk about what is going on in Africa, Latin America, Central America, all of that on Friday. So Friday is a black and brown day, and you don't want to miss that either. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Turn your radio down, please.
Hello?
Turn your radio down.
Okay.
All right. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was going to say two quick things. I was going to say you're right about Bush is trying to hide that thing with Hoffa because he made a speech on Labor Day, and at the end of the speech, he said, I'm sorry to let you advise you that there's going to be a whole lot more loss of life.
That's right.
He said that when I said that was shocking. And the other thing is, you know what? I really feel sorry. I mean, really feel sorry for the school teachers. Guess what Craig Williams is doing now?
What's that?
He's taking their last paychecks and any other money that they got coming. Let's say their checks are $800. He's giving them $400 of their check and taking the other four and calling in a bonus and saying he can't give it to them.
The teachers need to do something. The teachers need to do something. The war is on. And
right.
The war is on. All right. And
okay.
We'll be talking about that more in the next hour in the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah. How you doing, Liz Brown?
I'm outstanding.
So, Ken, again, I'm just letting you know I'm up and listening, baby.
All right.
Keep it going.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Lindsay.
Good
Lindsay.
Morning. Listen, yesterday I heard on the news that now the young men, the new people coming in, and they're going to a new uniform, and the soldiers are going to have to pay for it.
Shut up.
Can you believe that? I heard that yesterday. I say I can't wait to tell Liz.
Shut up.
Oh, honey, I mean, this country's broke. It's really broke. And some of the things.
But wait a minute. We spent $250,000, quarter of a million dollars digging up for the bones of Jimmy Hoffa. Surely we have some money out there.
Look, all the money that we're wasting in Iraq so that the rich can get rich and so that we can have a caste system really going in here, they're really working their mojo. They are really working it.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
And they're working their mojo on us. How's it feel? How's it feel out there? Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Peachy.
Wasn't expecting that.
Especially after you played that piece of music, Hello Morning.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh,
I just love that.
I can't get over it. It gives me goosebumps.
I just love that.
I'm going to be the bearer of bad news, so if you see me somewhere, I don't want you to, you know, get cross with me.
All right.
The bad news is this. The American, I've grown up with Muslim people, with Turks and Albanians, so I understand the culture, and apparently the people who call the shots in this war haven't the foggiest idea about the culture of the Muslim.
No, they do not.
Let me give you the bad news. Bush said that the war is going to probably last 7 or 8 years more, and the American people are appalled. Well, I think he's over-enthusiastic. You know, when the Muslims declare jihad, it means that the son is honor-bound to pick up the rifle from his dead father and attack the enemy. And his son, his grandson, they're all honor-bound to achieve revenge against the people who killed the original father. So I think that this war is going to go on for not 10 years. They're hoping it'll be over in 10 years. It's going to go on for 100 years. And there are more Muslims than there are Americans, so you can see just by the numbers that who's going to win this war.
Odds don't look good, does it?
It doesn't. They don't understand that.
But also, I mean, peace can be made. The question is that does them? We know that this administration doesn't have the ability to, doesn't have the interest in pursuing peace. The question will become, will the following administration be concerned about pursuing peace? Is that going to be on their agenda? And I'm fearful that is not.
No, and here's the irony of the thing, and it hurts me in my heart, because I know Muslim people, and all you have to do is sit down with your enemy, and the both of you light a cigarette and shake hands, and the war is over. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And One more point. An Israeli official said at one time that if Israel is destroyed, that's not the only destruction. Israel would turn that nation, that area, into a parking lot before they leave.
Because that's what God would want, huh?
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, it is hopeless. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Dimitri. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much work. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me.
All that I know. Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. Something within me.
About moving, think all states. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstates is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstates Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy.
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Off. Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil. Taz. Taz, are you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. My wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about her. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides in family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Recently declassified documents indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball. India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them. But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
What's yours is mine too. Now you've got more than you can spend. But all of the money in the whole wide world is not gonna help you in the end. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. So don't take that attitude to your grave. Don't you take
it. Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. In the next hour, of course, St. Louis Public Schools Watch, Peter Downs, and also this morning, Donna Jones, school board member Donna Jones. We have a lot to talk about with what's going on in the St. Louis Public Schools, and we're going to take an hour to do it in the next hour at the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. That's just about 10 minutes or so. And don't forget that at 8 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to have a minister roundtable on the death penalty, Justice for Reggie Thursday. We're going to have ministers in the studio to talk about, is there wiggle room in the death penalty? What is the biblical basis for, is there a biblical basis for the execution of of citizens by a government? And then at 9 o'clock today, don't forget, we are going to talk about that story that I just talked about earlier this morning about they're sending more people to Iraq. We're going to have a guest on at 9 o'clock to talk about the particulars of who they're sending to Iraq. And we're going to have a guest to talk about military enlistments broken down by race and ethnicity. Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour today. Busy, busy, busy times on the Wake Up Call. You don't want to miss any of them. Mac, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
You was asking what was the wiggle room in the death penalty,
Is there wiggle room in thou shalt not?
Sure it is. I mean, I heard you say a while ago that the Bible told me so. It's okay to execute as long as you're executing people of color. It was a man that just admit that he killed 8 or 9 people. He was a seer killer.
He was
a plea bargain. He got life instead of the death penalty.
And we need to let people know about the specifics of that. That was in Peoria, I believe. Peoria, Illinois.
Right. So it's wiggle room.
Wait a minute.
Depending on what color you are.
Okay, let me break it down for people that don't know about the story. This is a man who, a white male, who went throughout the Peoria area, killing black neighborhoods. Some people were hooked on drugs. Some people, they said, were prostitutes, and other people were not. The only thing in common that the victims had, they all were black. And the question really, I think that the question needs to be raised, okay, you killed all of these people. You admitted to killing all of these people, and you don't get the death penalty. It's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of it. All right. Thank you,
Ms. Brown.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And also, I'm going to talk about this in my 6 o'clock hour tomorrow because this is an extraordinary story, and I'm also going to put it up on my website. I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen this kind of evidence. We've seen it happen. We just haven't had the evidence to solidify it. And this happened about a year ago, and I'm trying to figure out why the national media didn't make a huge story about this. Did you hear about the case of Lester Seiler, a white guy accused of being a drug dealer? Tennessee law enforcement officers, cops,
bad boys, right, showed up at his home. They asked very politely for Lester's wife and son to leave. We're just going to talk to him. And as soon as Lester's wife and son left, they commenced for the next 2 hours. They beat him with bats. They beat him with guns. They held loaded guns to his head. They threatened to shoot him. They dunked his head in a toilet. They burned him with lighters. They attached to his testicles a battery charger. They threatened to cut off his fingers. They threatened to go get his wife and to take his child away from him. And then after all of that, after 2 hours of spending this kind of time with Lester Seiler, the police then charged Lester with evading arrest. Now, this is always a he said, he said scenario. A suspect, a citizen saying the police beat me, and the police saying, no, we didn't. How do we know that this is not one of those he said, oh, well, you can't trust the word of a drug dealer type of situations? Well, unbeknownst to the police, before Lester's good wife left, she turned on a tape recorder. And I am telling you, and I'm going to have it up on my website tomorrow. I'm going to talk about this some more tomorrow. And we can't play the tape because there's so much profanity in it. There is so much violence in it. You can hear them hitting him. You can hear him crying. You can hear him calling every kind of name but a child of God. And you know what they're telling him to do? Sign this consent form. Sign this consent form. Sign this. They beat him. They stuck his head in the toilet. They attached his testicles to a battery charger. They did all of that. And we know because the tape that was taken by his wife. Now my question is, this is inescapable, right? Why doesn't everybody know about the case of Lester Seiler? And then the other question you should be asking yourself, what happened to the cops that did this to him? Are they in jail? Are they working someplace? Well, you're going to find out about that story tomorrow on the wake-up call in my 6 o'clock hour. This is a case that everybody should know about, and I will have the link, the hookup, on my website so that you can go and listen to it while I am talking about it. That'll be tomorrow. This is an obscenity beyond description. My name is Liz Brown. We have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch coming up in the next hour. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we have Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project. She will be joining us to break down who's going to Iraq. Who's enlisting in the military by race and by ethnicity? That's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour. And don't forget tomorrow, I'm so excited, the Justice for Reggie hour, we're going to have a minister's roundtable. Is there wiggle room in Thou Shalt Not Kill? Is there? We'll find out tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Oh, there's so much good stuff. So much good stuff coming. I'm so excited. And don't forget on Friday from 8 to 10, we're going to be looking at the world black and brown, Central America, Africa. Akbar Muhammad joins me in the studio on Friday. So much good information coming to you. I'll be back with St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Lord, we have a lot of stuff to talk about there. Stay with us.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I'm hearing.
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
7 o'clock in the Gateway City. News is next from ABC, and then more of the Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown here on AM 920 WGNU. 72 degrees, a chance of showers later today.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The 2006 Atlantic hurricane season begins tomorrow, June 1st, and the experts are warning us this year could be almost as bad as last. But those who survived Hurricane Katrina know that all too well. You see, almost a year later, things are hardly back to normal. We're live with ABC's Aaron Katursky in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Daria, blocks from the Gulf, on a tattered porch in front of a ruined home, Helen sat smoking on a wicker bench. She stayed through Katrina, but told us she would never ride out another hurricane.
I'm 55 years old. Been through all of them. I went through Camille.
Well, you're not going to stay anymore. She said there's no reason to stay since Katrina took everything but her life. It seems it will take little convincing to get people here to evacuate this year, Daria.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Biloxi, Mississippi. Again, the Atlantic hurricane season begins tomorrow, June 1st. A gruesome discovery in Baghdad. 42 bodies found dumped in various places around the Iraqi capital, some showing signs of torture. The U.S. military, meanwhile, says two Iraqi women were shot to death in their car north of Baghdad. They didn't stop at a checkpoint. Lawyers for Ford are heading to court today. They're hoping to slam the brakes on health care for hundreds of retirees. ABC's Michael Barr has a story.
Lawyers for Ford Motor Company plan to ask a federal court in Detroit for approval to cut health benefits for the automaker's retirees. Ford says the cuts are crucial to avoid a financial crisis. Ford spent $3.5 billion last year for health care to some 590,000 people. The deal was worked out in talks with the United Auto Workers Union. If the judge gives the green light to the deal, Ford plans to implement the cuts July 1st. Michael Barr, ABC News.
The nation's new CIA chief says the embattled agency must be competent and cooperative to keep the central in Central Intelligence Agency. General Michael Hayden will be sworn in today. This is ABC News.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness. With the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Value Days, going on now through June 10th. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Value Days. Great tires, great deals. Going on now through June 10th. Visit Uniroyal.com to find a participating dealer near you. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
The experts say it will probably happen to us at least once in our life. We'll experience some sort of identity theft, and college students and their college campuses are not immune. Here's ABC's Alex Jones.
It's like one-stop shopping. College computer databases hold extremely personal information on students, alumni, employees, and even college applicants. The LA Times reports there have been 29 cyber break-ins at colleges since January. FBI agent Ken McGuire says universities can be relatively easy to hack into.
Colleges in general, by their very nature, are trying to make their systems available to a wide variety of people.
The University of Southern California has reported two security breaches this year. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Good weather and toughness let an 8-year-old boy survive more than 3 days in a rugged area south of Denver after he wandered away from a family campsite Saturday. Evan Thompson was found yesterday by a search team. He downed some pizza and some soda and smiled and waved to reporters. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
And this WGNU News update is brought to you by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the St. Louis County Task Force is recommending shutting down I-64 in one direction during the reconstruction project. The plan also calls for allowing a minimum of 3 lanes open in the other direction with full access to secondary roads. County Executive Charlie Dooley says the highway project is critical to the area.
170 and I-64. That is truly a bottleneck in St. Louis County.
Dooley calls the plan a successful collaboration between county, state, and local officials in an effort to keep the project on time and on budget. In other news, visitation is today for a Clemson University student from Ladue. Tiffany Sowers was found strangled Friday at her off-campus apartment in Central South Carolina. Visitation begins at 3 this afternoon at Lupton Chapel in University City. A funeral mass will be held at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Church of the Annunziata in Ladue. In a statement, Clemson University President James Barker says university police have increased patrols in residence halls in response to Sowers' death. There's no word on suspects in the murder. And Alton Memorial Hospital is breaking its official silence on the apparent murder-suicide involving its director of radiation oncology. In a brief written statement, hospital officials say, quote, "We are shocked and saddened by the tragic deaths of Dr. Edward Van Dyke and his two sons. We offer our deepest condolences to Mrs. Van Dyke and her family." Police in Miami Beach say the 43-year-old Van Dyke threw his 4- and 8-year-old sons over a hotel balcony Saturday before jumping to his own death. And finally, Washington University is hosting a science symposium designed to bring together people interested in developing new enterprises in Missouri based on research discoveries. Washington University Chancellor Mark Ryden says business, educators, and others are taking part in the 21st Century Science Foundation for Innovation Symposium.
We believe that there is an important opportunity in translating science to bring benefit to society. So we want to create an environment where we have the full spectrum of infrastructure that's needed to build innovative new companies.
The symposium, which kicked off yesterday, will continue today with sessions on business and academic alliances. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
WGNU News time is 7:07. Time for another look at traffic, brought to you this time by Sonic, America's Drive-In. I-44 on either side of Highway 109. All traffic switched to the eastbound lanes because of road construction. Two lanes are open in each direction. The eastbound traffic is slowing at Six Flags. Westbound traffic slowing down about a half mile before the zone. Eastbound 270 at West Florissant, a disabled vehicle is reported to be changing a tire on the right shoulder, but it's not bogging down traffic. Westbound 255 between Coke and Lemay Ferry, normal volume for this time of morning. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Woods Mill, normal traffic flow there. Heavy traffic reported on eastbound 70 between Highway K and Route 79. Traffic in good shape on northbound 55 between 141 and Lindbergh. Eastbound 44 out by the Chrysler plant and the Merrimack River Bridge, traffic is moving well. And downtown, we have slow traffic on the Poplar Street Bridge. Also, no problems to report on I-64 at 5570 split. And northbound 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's getting heavy now. Kingbridge traffic is starting to build right around the Laclede's Landing side. This traffic report being brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic on Tuesday nights and you get half-price burgers. That's right, St. Louis, you get a classic Sonic burger for half the price from 5 p.m. until close on Tuesdays. It's not good, it's Sonic good. The WGNU forecast for today, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the mid-80s, probably sometime this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms possible tonight, low in the upper 60s, and tomorrow periods of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with temperatures in the lower 80s. Currently 72 degrees here at WGNU, and we'll get back to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown in just a moment.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at
been conspiracy hunting lately? This is Decent Guy Dunn. Tune in every Monday through Friday, midnight till 2 for The Conspiracy Hunter.
The St. Louis Rams will host the 10th annual Bowl-a-Rama to benefit the Epilepsy Foundation of the St. Louis region on Monday, June 5th at Tropicana Lanes. Rams players will bowl with the participants from 7 to 8 p.m., with the Rams offense taking on the Rams defense at 8:30. Tickets are $100 to bowl with the Rams or $75 to observe. For more info, call 314-645-6969. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am Liz Brown, and this morning I am joined by two school board members. Peter Downs, good morning.
Good morning.
And Donna Jones, good morning.
Good morning.
My goodness, I'm looking at an article out of the St. Louis Public Schools Watch about a meeting by the teachers because of some interesting, crazy things that are going on in the St. Louis public school system. Peter, let me start with you. We touched on this, I believe, last week.
I think we did.
We touched a little bit on this last week, and the ramifications are just stunning. I talked about that teachers had gotten letters, teachers at Roosevelt, teachers at Vachon, and teachers at Sumner had received letters firing them, saying that they no longer had a job and that if they wanted a job, they could reapply like everybody else and apply for a job.
That's what we talked about last week. It turned out we were talking about too few teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That there are actually, the number reported in the Post is over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Other news outlets have said over 800, but 2 to 3 times as many teachers as the number of teachers at Roosevelt and Vachon and Sumner.
And
Yateman, Webster, and the two other middle schools combined.
So did you know this was coming?
As a school board member, did you know this was coming? And Donna, as a school board member, did you know that there were going to be, at the end of the school year, your first year, this is your first session on the school board, did you know at the end of the school year that there were going to be 1,000 teachers without jobs?
Absolutely not. We were told that he was going to get rid of 300 teaching positions, and we hadn't approved that either. So there's
Hold up. Craig Williams, I remember him saying that 300 teachers had to go, but you all hadn't approved that yet.
No, absolutely not. That's now, the last thing that we need.
Now I'm hearing from Craig Williams and the district up there that this isn't firing.
That's what they're saying.
What constitutes a firing? I'm just asking for my, help me with this. What would a firing be that has not been done here? If you received a letter saying that you no longer have a job, that you have to apply to have a job, that if you don't get a job, you don't have any more benefits. If you're not hired back, you don't have any benefits. What constitutes a firing?
Sounds like a firing.
I think that's a very good question, but in... I guess, to the district, I should say that there are officials of the teachers union I've talked to who agree that this is not a firing.
But they say
people haven't, the position is, it's a very fine line, I think. But they say it's unprecedented in the size and the number of teachers involved. But when schools have closed before or there have been other reorganizations, programs have changed. Teachers have been told you got to reapply for a job at a new school. This is not, again, the explanation given to me is that, well, they aren't being, they're employees of the school district and they're being, and they aren't fired from the school district. What they've been done is they've lost their job at a particular school and they have to apply for a job at a new school.
So if they don't apply for a job at a new school, they will continue to get a paycheck?
Well, I think the obvious answer is no. They will not.
Okay, so then if you're still employed...
But they will say that the people then quit.
If they don't get a job after they apply for a job, during that period of time that they are waiting...
If they apply and don't get a job, then I'd say then they're fired.
So there's a new two-step process in getting fired in the St. Louis Public Schools.
The SLPS two-step.
Okay. So in terms of the teachers' union's response to this, can either one of you speak to me about what is the response of the union? Because whether you call it, the Craig $300,000 two-step or not, I think they're fired. And it seems to me that a teachers' union would think, they're fired, too. And particularly the teachers' union that represents teachers should have known about this coming. So let me ask it this way. Have you all heard from the union that the union knew that there were going to be 1,000 teachers without jobs?
I'm not clear about what the union's true stance is, but what I'd like to say is that you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to reapply for a job, you are fired.
Your job has been taken away.
Has been taken away, and it's just point blank clear. You have no benefits. You have no job.
So, do we know what the union's position is? Was the union notified about this? Was the union part of this?
The union. My information is that the offices of the union were notified 4 or 5 days before it went down. That teachers at the reconstituted schools were going to lose their jobs at those schools and have to reapply for new jobs. And that they were told, they were asked to have some trust in the district and not tell anybody about it until after there had been a press conference.
And they agreed to that?
And they agreed to that. The numbers involved are much larger than they thought were going to be involved, but they...
So how'd that trust thing work out with Craig Williams?
Not very well.
Not very well for anybody. And I think this brings me back home to the issue that I've always had with $25,000 a month Craig Williams. He came to this district without a superintendent certification because he had never been a superintendent anywhere in the world before. He came here without any experience of running any district, let alone a district as large as this. And therefore, it seems to me that
that obviously that the district spent too much money, but we have somebody that doesn't know how to do the job. So let's look at some of the things that he has done in the course of the experimentation on the St. Louis Public Schools. I was at the meeting, and you both were at the meeting, where Craig Williams held up, did a PowerPoint, because that's all they do nowadays, these PowerPoint presentations of the reconstitution and reorganization plan for Roosevelt, Sumner, and Vashon.
Yes.
They didn't mention any of the other middle schools, did they?
That was a month earlier. In April, they did the middle schools.
Okay. And during this restructuring piece, Craig Williams said, well, Donna, tell me what you remember Craig Williams saying about the restructuring piece of this.
Well, on the last section of the restructuring, there were supposed to be several options, and we were under the impression that he was basically going to restructure the governing body of the school, or just rearrange teachers and rearrange programs, but not to terminate anyone at this particular time.
And Peter, I mean, he went through all of these options, didn't he? He went through,
yes.
He said, okay, here are our choices, because we're stuck. We have to do this. No Child Left Behind demands this. We either have to replace all or most of the school staff, which may include the principal, who are relevant to the school's inability to make adequate progress, or we have to enter into a contract such as a private management company with a demonstrated record of effectiveness to operate at the school. That's a charter school. Or we have to turn the district over to the operation of the school over to the state. Or we have to reopen the school as a public charter school. Or we have to implement any other major restructuring of the school's governance that is consistent with the principles of restructuring. Now, he said, we are not going to do any of those four. We're going to do the last one.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he said.
I mean, I was there.
That's right.
I heard it. He said, we're not going to, and he said it more than one time.
Yes.
Yes.
And so what happens, so after you all voted, did you vote on the last option? Is that what you, that's what
yes.
you're under the impression
yes.
you were voting
we approved
yes.
his recommendation,
that
which was changing the programs.
And he said, we're not going to replace all or most of the school staff. That's not one of our choices. And then right after that, that's exactly what he does.
Yes.
So this brings me to the issue of trust and ability. Does this violate, does this raise the issue of trust in either one of your minds about your relationship with the superintendent? Can you trust what he says that he's going to do? I mean, does it raise that as a question?
I think it does. I think there are other examples, too. I think this is one of several examples.
Give us another example.
Also, at that same meeting, I'd put a discussion of magnet schools on the agenda. Mm-hmm. We had had several speakers during the public session raising questions about magnet programs being discontinued. There was a woman who's a parent of children at Pruitt Military Academy who specifically said, you know, she'd been told that program was being discontinued. When I asked Craig Williams to respond, because we had...
A parent saying, I've heard that Pruitt's going to be closed down.
Yes.
And Pruitt's a magnet school.
Yes.
Okay.
And later on the agenda, already on the agenda, we had a discussion of magnet schools. So it was a perfectly legal opportunity to respond to these claims made in public comment. And he refused to do so. Craig Williams, being he refused to do so. I asked him point blank if there are any changes planned in magnet schools for next year. And he said there are no changes planned. Yet on May 19th...
How many days after this meeting?
Approximately a week.
Mm.
A week to 10 days after the meeting.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
A letter was sent out to parents of children at Pruitt.
What did it say?
Saying this program is being... He used the phrase re-engineered there, but said you got to find another school for your kids.
So Pruitt is no more.
So Pruitt is no more.
And Pruitt's a magnet school.
Yes.
And Donna, there's a concern about the legality of closing down a magnet school.
Absolutely. We have to maintain a certain number of magnet schools.
And you all didn't vote to close down Pruitt, right?
Right.
Aren't you all, Donna, supposed to be voting on closing schools?
We absolutely are.
And Peter, you all haven't voted on this.
That is correct.
And Craig,
whether the previous board did... You know, I've been attending all the board meetings,
mm-hmm.
and I don't recall the previous board voting to close the program. They voted to move the military academy out of Pruitt to another school, But they did not, as I recall, vote to abolish it.
And the letter that was sent to the parents didn't say that Pruitt is being reconstituted to another school.
No.
Pruitt's being moved to another school.
No.
The military school is being moved someplace else. They said, the letter said, go find another school. And what else did the letter say? It also said, not only did it say go find another school, and if you don't.
And if you don't, your child will be assigned to the closest neighborhood school.
And what three schools were the parents given as a choice to move their kids to?
And there are four schools.
Four schools.
They were Carr Lane, Compton Drew, Gateway Middle, and I think it was Bush Academic and Athletic.
Are all of those magnet schools?
Yes.
Okay, so let me get this straight. How many students approximately are in Pruitt? Approximately.
Mm-hmm. I think
200 to 300 kids?
No, I think more in the order of 150.
150. Do the other schools have the ability to absorb these kids?
In giving these other options, they listed how many vacancies were at each school, each one of these schools. And I didn't add them up.
Okay.
I don't recall, but they had, you know, like 23 vacancies at Bush, 20 at Compton Drew, whatever the numbers were. But they listed the number of vacancies available.
But nevertheless, there are two problems that appear to me that to be of concern here. One that, and for, one, first one is that the school board didn't vote to close Pruitt.
Right.
And secondly, you were lied to.
Right.
I mean, you were lied to by the person that you all hire. Not that you two hired this person, but you all are in charge of keeping this person and letting this person go. And he looked you in the face and said, no, that's not happening. And yes, it was. A week later, yes, it was.
Right. So it was obviously in the works. Just as this happened here, firing all the teachers and you have to reply. That was obviously in the works when he told us we aren't going to do that.
Right. So, and this gets me to, again, the two questions that I have about this individual, Craig Williams, who gets paid $25,000 a month, trust and capabilities, okay? He came to, all you have is your trust, and we need to talk about his skills. What are some of the ramifications you all, either one of you, Peter or Donna, the ramifications and what has happened as a result of 1,000 teachers losing their jobs? What are the things that are what's happening within the district? Is it fair to say that the district is in chaos right now?
Yes. Yes.
I agree. It definitely is in chaos. And I also made a request twice to have an answer as to class size, teacher ratio. You know, how many kids are we going to have in the classroom? How many teachers? Because a lot of the problems that we're experiencing in the classroom right now, we wouldn't have as many if we had an adequate number of teachers per student.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to exceed it.
Well, what are some of the ramifications that are happening, or what are some of the results of this elimination of 1,000 teachers' jobs? What's happening? What are teachers telling you?
One of the things that I think is going to happen, mm-hmm. will take place over the summer, you know, in a stream, I think. But those teachers who can most easily find a job elsewhere are going to.
Because here's the thing. Craig Williams has created the perfect opportunity for the best teachers to say, you know what, bump this.
That's right.
You know, I don't have a job anyway, mm-hmm. so I'm going to buy this superintendent. There is no loyalty shown to me, so there is no reason why I should be shown any loyalty. And the thing that keeps a lot of teachers, they know what the next class is,
right.
is coming into them is going to be. They know the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They know the school. They know the principal. And they have their classrooms that they have built over years. Mm-hmm. And all of the stuff in their classrooms. We're talking about maybe 1,000 teachers having to unpack their classrooms and move someplace else, maybe teach in another grade. How do you plan for that? And a teacher that has no connection to a district, of course they're going to go find another job. So we have that. Possibly lots and lots of teachers and teachers leaving the district. How many teachers is this district short? Already. I mean, we've been trying teachers' positions forever, and we have a superintendent that's never been a superintendent anywhere before. His decision is, let me fire all the teachers, because it's going to be easy to find teachers to replace them with.
Well, you know, the Donna mentioned earlier that he was talking about eliminating 300 teacher positions, and the way he came up with that number is because that's the number of teachers we were short.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we have approximately 300 long-term subs filling teachers' positions in classrooms this year that just ended because we didn't have enough teachers. So he says, well, let's eliminate all those positions. Then, bam, we'll have enough teachers.
Presto changeo, we have enough teachers. But aren't there still students remaining that were being taught by those 300 positions?
That was the question that, you know, at the board meeting, several of us kept trying to get them to focus on. Well, hold, the issue is the number of students we have and so how many teachers we need. But we couldn't get them to think that. We couldn't seem to get them to grasp that that was a question because their only response from everybody in the room was always, oh, well, you know, it's not going to change the amount of revenue we get from the state.
So our children are.
So the children are only important as far as the amount of money they bring in from the state.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Donna Jones and Peter Downs. This is Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We have much to talk about. We're not done here. Stay with us.
While this love has a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go.
Professor Stephen Yates of the University of South Carolina is our guest Tuesday morning at 7. He recently wrote a disturbing dissertation on a plan the Bush administration is pushing to merge Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into a single regional government, or a Western version of the European Union. It would create a huge free trade zone that would allow goods and people to move freely across borders, effectively doing away with domestic citizenship. How would such different political systems work as one entity? Some points to ponder Tuesday morning at 7 with Professor Stephen Yates, right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Disney and Pixar know how to get your motor running with a new high-octane movie, Cars. Now, the Create Your Own Cars Room Sweepstakes presented by the Home Depot will help rev up your dreams. One grand prize winner will race off with a Cars Room makeover created with a $5,000 gift card from the Home Depot, plus movie-themed furniture and accessories. Winners will also receive a Leapster portable learning system with the Disney Pixar Cars learning game from Leapfrog, plus other Cars prizes. Thanks to the Home Depot, you can do it. We can help. Log on to abcradio.com for all the details. And see Cars in theaters June 9th. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
And WGNU News Time 7:31. Time for another look at traffic on the half hour brought to you by the new Drury Plaza Hotel in Chesterfield. Normal traffic on 255 between Coke and Lemay Ferry Road. Normal traffic on Highway 40 between Clarkson Olive and Woods Mill. Heavy traffic reported eastbound on 70 between Highway K and Highway 79. Downtown on the bridge complex, the Poplar Street is slow at this hour. No problems to report westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Heavy traffic reported on northbound 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. The King Bridge traffic is in fairly good shape as you approach Laclede's Landing. Westbound 270, the Canal Bridge, traffic is slow and it's about a half mile back up as you approach the bridge. Couple of construction notes to pass along to you. Eastbound 255 at the JB Bridge, maintenance operations underway there. Look for delays. Woodson Road at 170 road construction. The right lane is closed there. And on the east side, Illinois Highway 3 between Bissell Avenue and Industrial Drive, road construction going on. Various lanes are closed there. Traffic brought to you by the new Drury Plaza Hotel in Chesterfield, now open in Chesterfield. Free hot breakfast, wireless internet, free everything, or make that free evening reception and introductory rates starting at $89.99. Call 1-800-DRURY-IN for affordable elegance. It's the new Drury Plaza in Chesterfield. WGNU News Time 7:33. The weather forecast calls for periods of showers and thunderstorms later today, high in the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, with the low in the upper 60s. And for Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, the high in the lower 80s. Right now, 75 degrees here at WGNU. And we'll get back to more of the Wake Up Call with the St. Louis Schools Watch in just a moment.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with your radio pastor, Pastor Charles Hilton, every Saturday, 5:30 p.m. on WGNU 920 AM dial. We will be playing some of St. Louis and East St. Louis' finest gospel artists, as well as keeping you informed with current gospel events. That's every Saturday, 5:30 on WGNU 920, your AM dial. And always remember just how good God is.
WGNU presents Speaking Truthfully, a program examining current events from a Christian perspective and designed to provide a common sense approach to overcoming life's everyday problems. Topics for discussion include health issues, the criminal justice system, as well as Christian counseling. Join attorneys Donnell Smith and Tanya McAlpine, along with Pastor James T. Morris, for Speaking Truthfully every Saturday night at 8 on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. Brought to you by Shepherd's Rock Christian and Legal Counseling Services. Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
You're listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Shall get them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. And this is, of course, Wednesday, so it's the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Donna Jones and Peter Downs. And I want to talk to you all again about this whole trust and capability piece of Craig Williams. That's what we are assessing here, the fact that he has looked you all in the face and lied to you repeatedly about the things that he's says he wants to do, and then the things that he ends up doing. And then even if people can accept an inability for truthfulness, we have to get to capabilities here. And the consequences of the decision to fire all of these teachers, but there's more. There's also a he can't add. I know he can add his $25,000 a month paycheck, but he can't add. Teachers are going to get checks that are short money, right?
Yes, they're certainly short what they expected. Yeah, teachers are getting, teachers and other school employees, this is not just teachers affected here, worked 203 days this school year. And they're getting paid for 200. So their check, their last check, is going to be for only 5 days when they're expecting 8 days.
Mm-hmm. Who counted up the days of the school year? Whose job is that? I mean, you know, how hard? I mean, we're not talking about counting to a bazillion. We're talking about counting 203.
Between 200 and 203.
203, yeah. And that's Craig Williams, isn't it? That's his job, isn't it, Donna?
Yes, that's financial. Yes.
That's his responsibility.
Ultimately, yeah. I mean, just as you know, Harry Truman always said, the buck stops at the president's office. Anything school district, the buck stops there at the superintendent.
And let's also look at the contempt, what appears to be the contempt that Craig has for the teachers. Because, okay, we're all human beings. Everybody can make a mistake. 200, 203, if you're going to go that. I can't buy that, but some people may. Okay, some people may buy. Mistakes are made. How is the district going to make up for this? Because if you make a mistake, then you try to do right. Is the district going to pay these teachers for the 203?
Well, first, kind of point of full disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
As a board member, nobody in the administration has told me anything about this.
Okay.
All right. So I can't really speak for what the district is going to do.
Okay. The teachers
have told me, the teachers union, Office of the Teachers Union, have told me that what the district has told them is that, no, they aren't going to make up for it. They said, you've been paid. You know, we cut your cake, you know, 200 ways instead of 203 ways, but it's still the same size cake. You got your money.
But that's not true of the non-professional employees, right?
Right, right. Teachers, assistants, clerical, secretaries, they're all paid hourly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're owed for each hour they work. It's, mm-hmm. it's not a they aren't given
There's
a whole
no
cake that's cut up, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so, yeah, they're owed money. They're owed money for 3 whole days of work.
And
actually, they're owed money for the whole year because their work day was extended when they extended the school year. So their work day was extended by about close to half an hour a day, over 200 days. That's about 100 hours that they're owed paid for anyways that they weren't paid for.
And Craig Williams still keeps getting his $25,000 a month check. He hasn't been short of 3 days as far as anybody knows. And if he did,
not as far as I know.
And I can't imagine he would feel it. What's 3 days out of a $25,000 a month check?
That's right. My worry is not that he'd be shorted, but it would go the opposite way.
There you go. Now, the other piece of this is, let's get back to the stability of the district, Donna. When we have teachers' aides and teachers' assistants, paraprofessionals?
Yes.
Paraprofessionals. When we have people like that, Craig Williams, the superintendent, looking those people in the face saying that not only are we not going to pay you for the 3 days that we undercounted, in our favor, mind you, and we're not going to pay you for the days that you have worked as a result of the extended school days, when we have 1,000 teachers getting a notice unbeknownst to them, although known to their union, but not their union administration, but not known to them that they're going to be fired, what does that do for the ability of a school district to be sound for the following school year?
It's not going to be sound. I believe we're in for a chaotic ride in the slow destruction of our St. Louis public schools, and I think all this is purposely done.
I've been told, Donna, that Craig Williams meets regularly with Francis Slay, that Craig Williams continues to meet with Vince Schemel, that he is downtown, you know, not far from actually from the Kwame building, in one of the lofts there downtown on Washington Avenue, and that they hang out there and meet. In fact, Craig Williams meets regularly with Ron Jackson by himself down there. You can see him down there on Washington Avenue hanging out in that area. What does that do for a district that appears that the superintendent has continued to be, his strings are being pulled by interests that lost this last election?
Well, to me, it's not very good because also it's my understanding that Francis Slay has purchased all the old Catholic schools that were closed last year,
mm-hmm.
and that he's been soliciting the universities to have charter schools and have two different districts, you know, the charter schools and then the St. Louis Public Schools. And by destroying the St. Louis Public Schools, getting rid of our teachers, it makes our district look bad. And it's only helping to build up what they say is a bad district, St. Louis Public Schools, which is, that's not right. What's going on?
And the other piece of this is the legacy of Craig Williams, because mm-hmm. it wasn't you two that brought Craig Williams in. It was another board that brought Craig Williams in. And, Peter, don't we have to really, really take a look at, we've had the legacy of Bill Roberti. You know, you and I got Bill Roberti right away, okay, out there mm-hmm. talking about what the consequences and the legacy of Bill Roberti is going to be, pointing out instance after instance, people held their breath, you know, keep hope alive, you know, it'll get better. Bill Roberti was brought here by that board and by Francis Slay. Mm-hmm. Craig Williams has been brought here. What is the legacy of Craig Williams now, and what do you think the legacy will be of those who brought him here if he continues to stay in this district? I mean, I'm just saying that we need to, don't we need to be concerned about believing what a person does and accepting what they do and evaluating them based on that. Since Craig Williams lied to you about what he was going to do about the restructuring, since Craig Williams lied about the magnet schools, since Craig Williams has, they can't count and teachers are not getting paid what they're supposed to be getting paid, paraprofessionals are not being paid what they are supposed to be paid, shouldn't people be looking at the future of a relationship with the person that lies to you? And is the lies do not result in good things for the district? I mean, should we be looking at that?
No, I think we do need to look to the future. We do need to look to, we need to look at how we, the citizens of St. Louis, can regain control of the school system and build it back up, because it is not being built up now. It is being torn down now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And we're going to take a break. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Donna Jones and Peter Downs, school board members. Stay with us.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you plan.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend, it's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
You can listen to the Medical Hour on the Internet. Join Dr. Valerie Walker at WGNU.net.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am here with Peter Downs and Donna Jones. And Donna, we were talking about some other disturbing things that are going on that are part of the legacy of Craig Williams. Talk to me about what some teachers are telling you.
Well, basically that a lot of our equipment, a lot of the classes due to restructuring, they're being sold.
You mean a lot of the equipment in the classroom?
A lot of the equipment in the classroom. Just say, for instance, home ec. Those are some of the basic classes that students need to help them, you know.
Why would the equipment be sold when restructuring is not complete?
Because the classes are being deleted.
Huh?
They're gone. They're being gotten rid of.
I mean, does it make any sense to either one of you that we would sell the equipment before the dust is settled of what our needs are going to be?
Our tech classes.
No, you know, some of these classes are required by state law.
Shop.
So, I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. And why would the equipment be sold before anything is decided? I mean, the dust hasn't settled on this restructuring, right?
To our best knowledge, but I think that, like we said before, there must be two strategic plans going on here.
Let me get to a caller or two. You have a question?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is to the two school board members. We elected you all to oversee what actually is going on. Now, if we're going to school board meetings and Craig Williams is point blank lying, and then he's telling you're voting for one thing and he's doing something totally different, why do we even have you all there? Why do we have school board meetings? Why don't we just let him run amok? What are we going to do about this? Is there nothing? Now that he's made these decisions and lied to the city, now it's up to the city to make the changes. Can't you all do something? Can we stop this? You didn't vote for this. He didn't. You didn't decide on this. Help us. What can we do about it?
Great question.
It is a great question, and unfortunately, we need 4 votes on the school board to make any change.
So that's 4 school board members.
That's 4 school
board members. We have you. We have Donna. We have Bill Purdy, and don't we have the president of the school board?
I don't know.
You know, and we can also, we have 10,000 some voters, odd voters, who voted for us, and we need to feel your presence. And that's the bottom line. Don't just put people into office and not stand behind them. We need your help.
And when's the next school board meeting?
The regular school board meeting is June 13th.
June 13th. Let me get to another caller here. Charles Quincy Troop, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. You know, normally I don't get involved at this level, but this is really insane. And the question, I think, was a very good question. That is, if you're selling the equipment and you're selling all of the things that you need to have classes, then what that indicates to me is contracting out of those services. I mean, I don't see any other logic for it.
Or you're selling the equipment to your friends and you have no intention of having those classes anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, there's always the greed and the gluttony component of this.
Yeah, so the question is, the board set the policy. Now, it was my understanding that those of us who supported Peter and General Downs and Jones, we did it for the purpose of giving them a majority with Veronica Banks.
Veronica O'Brien.
O'Brien, I'm sorry. And if that didn't happen, then we need to know. Now.
We need to know.
Yeah.
We need to know.
Yeah.
That's exactly, and that's why. And that's why Veronica O'Brien was voted in the first time.
Exactly.
You know that because she was appointed the first time, and then she ran for election, and she ran against what was going on this board.
She ran against the system.
That's right. She ran against the system, and the system.
The same as Peter and Downs and Jones.
That's right.
So
that's right.
They are natural ally. If that's not occurring,
we do need to know
then
that.
We need to know.
We need to know that. That is the question that has to be answered. If there's a majority that ran against the system, and if that majority is still there.
Okay.
Thanks for your call and your question.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Because, I mean, the caller before Charles Quincy Troop raised a very good question. You have a superintendent that is being dishonest to you all. You have a superintendent that is, as the caller put it, running amok. And you have a superintendent that I have to bring in that's making $25,000 a month to do this, meeting with other people, strategizing behind your back, and coming up with plans and implementing plans that are failing the district, that are assaulting the district and everybody in it. This is a huge problem, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do about this? I mean, the fact of the matter, and there are people out there that raise the concern about Craig Williams has a following out here. I don't see how that could be so when people that voted out the people that he was aligned with, that he has a following.
Well, he certainly has the same following as the people who lost the election.
Mm.
All right, and they got a lot of votes. Not enough to win, but they got a lot of votes, and they control a lot of the public airwaves or discussion in town. They got the mayor, they got the Post-Dispatch, they have some other radio shows. out beating the drum for Craig Williams. And
but the people, you know, beat the drum and marched to the voting polls without any money, without any of those outlets on their side, and they said no anyway.
And I agree with you 100%. I think that the school board members, all of us, need to be reminded, though, that happened.
So everybody really needs to come to the school board meeting and tell the school board members that, you know what, we put you on the board to be a majority. We put you on the board to be a majority against this type of insanity. We put you on the board to protect our kids and our school district, and y'all need to be making the decisions that are consistent with that. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call, St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Yes, I believe that when you have a superintendent that's doing what he's doing, like Craig Williams, it's time to either tell him bye-bye, because Kansas City just got finished. I just came in from Kansas City, and they just got finished appointing a new superintendent in their school district. When a superintendent can't go along with the board, it's time for that person to take his bags and go back from whence he came.
Thank you, caller. And here's the thing: when we talk about one of the things that we hear from the minority on the school board is we're broke. Shouldn't we be looking at the fiscal decisions that have been made? I mean, if we are broke, can we afford to pay somebody $25,000 a month when we can't afford to pay our paraprofessionals who've worked an extra 3 days and extra hours because they were part of the extended school year that Craig Williams put into place? If we can't afford to pay them, then how can we afford to pay him? I mean, isn't that a question that we should be raising?
I think we're not spending our money properly. Anytime I'm looking at the real estate that the St. Louis Public Schools are selling, we got $950,000 for King Triad, all these historical properties. We allowed Sodexo to not, they weren't doing the maintenance that they should have done, destroying our buildings, but we're just basically giving away what the school already owed. I mean, we're giving away too much, and we're not getting what we're just due. We have Lashley and Bear, was at $1,800,000. Sodexo, basically 24. Yes, the law firm. And Sodexo, $24 million. They don't have proper trash bags. They don't have the clean solution.
The schools don't have light bulbs.
They don't have light bulbs. Right. They're not cleaning the equipment off like they used to for the children before they come. So our money is not being spent wisely. We're giving away school buildings. There's a serious problem. We have a contract with Aramark. They're bringing food in, letting it sit. The air is bubbling up in it, and then there's no one there to receive the food. They're putting back in refrigerated trucks, taking it back to the other schools, and this is why we have poor quality food. So we're wasting food there, money also. So we need people to come across.
And the school board meeting is when?
June 13th, 7 p.m.
You're on the wake-up call, St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Yes, question. Reconstituting, how can you embarrass a teacher who has been in a building to go interview with that same failed principal that's been there 3 or 4 years? Who's monitoring her decision about who she wants in the building or he wants in the building? Secondly, Title I money was misappropriated. What has happened to that? And where are the reading programs? They've cut out 180. I understand they've cut out curriculum coaches, and they've cut out
Craig Williams has cut out. These are his decisions.
Right, but reading was supposed to be primary. So what's going on, and who's monitoring these principal decisions, what staff they want and what staff they don't want?
I mean, this is ripe for purging, isn't it? This is really a dream of people that people want it to happen. I mean, you can get rid of any teacher that you hate, anybody
right.
that you don't want in a school. You can let go anybody that you want to target.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, there was already a process in place. If a teacher was incompetent, there's a process in place for the principal to fire that teacher. And what you've done is, instead of following that process, you just open it up. All these 1,000 teachers now are without a job, and you can pick and choose who you want to come back. And given what we've seen in the district, and the hires Craig Williams has made, the controversy, recent controversy over the teacher at Pruitt, where Craig Williams indicated that he knew the teacher had a drinking problem, makes you wonder, why would you trust them to decide to pick teachers based upon competency instead of based upon who his friends are.
You get to another caller here. You're on the wake-up call, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Quickly, please.
Yes, Liz. Hello?
Quickly, please.
Hello, Liz, what?
454-0400 is my phone number. We need to get to one more caller here. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I need to ask the question. The reading teachers that came out of the classroom, Peter, will they have to reapply or will they go back into the classrooms? The ones that Stampinata did not secure from the state the provision for them to be reading teachers?
Right. Those are some of the teachers that, in the proposal to us, it's still a proposal, but they were supposed to go back into the classroom as regular teachers.
And since we're coming to the end of the hour here, I really want to go back to what the one caller said about what needs to be done. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you all were voted in as part of a majority to make the changes on this board. And what we are seeing is it's almost as if those that are in the minority have said, you know what, I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. I don't care that the majority is there. I'm going to continue with the plan that we have in place. And people need to get involved in this.
Yes, they do.
Our board needs to decide what our board is going to be. Are we going to be the majority that we voted you in to be or not? And people need to come forward and say, you know what, I'm not part of the majority, if that's what your decision is. I want to thank you both for coming on, Peter Downs and Donna Jones. School board meeting is when?
June 13th, 7 p.m. at Car Lane.
And the teachers' meeting is when?
Sunday at 4.
And y'all need to be there, too. We'll be back. Thank you so much.
Which forecasters say could be almost as bad as last year. ABC's Aaron Katursky says that warning isn't lost on people along the Gulf Coast who lived through the big one last year, Hurricane Katrina.
Thousands of people here still live in trailers on concrete slabs where houses used to stand. They're flimsy, so Biloxi Mayor A.J. Holloway says occupants will have to evacuate or even a tropical storm.
And I don't think it'll take much urging for them to leave.
You won't have to tell this woman twice. She wrote out Katrina.
My 16-year-old daughter got in her bed and cried when the water started surrounding our house, so I decided that we wouldn't stay again.
But a bridge destroyed in Hurricane Katrina is still not fixed, so there's one less evacuation route here. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Biloxi.
Saddam Hussein's defense team wants the former Iraqi leader's trial stopped. He is accusing a prosecution witness of perjury for contradicting some important testimony.
This tape the defense team displayed in the court today showed one of the witnesses who testified against Saddam earlier last year saying a statement that contradicts sharply with what he said in the court. They also accused this witness of perjury and asked the court to file a lawsuit against him.
ABC's Haider Hamza in Baghdad. The new Iraqi prime minister is declaring a state of emergency in Basra for 1 month. It's amid some ongoing violence. The Senate is about to take up the issue of gay marriage. ABC's Ann Compton has a story.
President Bush has long argued that state courts and city mayors should not be allowed to redefine marriage and issue licenses to same-sex couples. 2 years ago, he declared only a constitutional amendment can protect the definition of marriage, which is currently in U.S. law.
The debate begins next week. The new director of the CIA will be sworn in today, General Michael Hayden, the first military man to run the spy agency in 30 years. ABC News.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
Top three reasons I see a storm door in my future. Number three, it's the perfect picture frame for our front door. Number two, feeling the cool summer night's breeze without mosquitoes. And number one, I can get an Anderson storm door installed for $57.
The Home Depot has your storm door. Right now, get any Anderson-branded storm door installed through us, and basic installation is only $57. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through June 7th at U.S. Home Depot stores only. Additional charges may apply. Savings vary by market. See store for license numbers.
This is Katie Couric's last day on the Today Show. ABC's Bill Deal checked out the big party to send her off.
This is Today with Katie Couric and Matt Lauer.
After 15 years, it's Katie Couric's swan song on the Today Show. Can she make it as a big-time news anchor? Bill Carter of the New York Times told me.
Obviously a big risk, because people have come to accept her as this broad approach person, not a person who just seriously does the news for them.
Linda Ellerbe has worked for both NBC and ABC News.
What took you so long, guys?
Katie Couric will replace Bob Schieffer.
She is just one of the best.
Walter Cronkite?
I think you can look for a quite successful run.
Katie Couric will begin anchoring the CBS Evening News in September. Bill Deal, ABC News.
Cyclist Lance Armstrong has been cleared of charges of doping in the 1999 Tour de France. Independent Dutch investigators are blaming anti-doping authorities for misconduct. A report recommends convening a tribunal to discuss possible legal and ethical violations by anti-doping authorities. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And this update of WGNU News is brought to you by Century Mortgage. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a confessed meth cook has been given extra prison time for putting his kids at risk. James Hayes was sentenced yesterday to 27 years in federal prison for conspiring to make and distribute methamphetamine and fleeing police. U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway says Hayes continually cooked and used meth in the home he shared with his girlfriend and four children.
In this case, we had the evidence to prove it. We had a judge who was willing to enhance the sentence. The enhancement for endangering the lives of children is about 10 to 12 years.
The youngest of those children, 4-week-old Jersey Hayes, died in January 2003. The cause of her death was undetermined, but trace amounts of meth were found on the pillowcase where she'd been sleeping. In other news, the Missouri Department of Transportation is widening a dangerous stretch of Route 21 in Hillsboro. Judy Wagner, an area engineer for MoDOT, says the $14 million project will create a new four-lane divided highway.
Once it's open, it will definitely provide a lot of relief and safety concerns. The old route is narrow and windy. It curves, and there's lots of entrances. The new highway that we're constructing won't have entrances. It'll have full interchanges.
The 1.4-mile stretch of Route 21 will be widened from Hayden Road to Route A. The project is expected to be completed by the fall of 2007. And finally, in Overland, some city business is being conducted in that divided city. Last night's special city council meeting was the first since the election of Mayor Ann Persner to start and finish normally. The majority of the seven council members oppose Persner and carried votes last night to reappoint the city clerk and to pay city attorney Bob Herman for work in the city's recent legal disputes. But the city council did not appoint anyone to the eighth council seat left vacant when Persner was elected. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Century Mortgage. Got a prehistoric rate? Call Century Mortgage today to qualify for their 1% pay option program. Call 314-576-6400. That's Century Mortgage, 576-6400, because it's time to turn the century. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
WGNU News Time, 8:06, time for another look at traffic, brought to you this hour by Sonic America's Drive-In. On I-44, either side of 109, traffic has been switched to the eastbound lanes because of road construction. The two lanes are open in each direction. Westbound traffic is going slow through that construction zone. There's a report of an accident blocking the right lane on Highway 40 between Clayton and Hanley, and traffic is slow around the Big Bend area. Traffic slow on Highway 40 between Woods Mill and Mason Road. Heavy traffic on I-70 between Highway K and Route 79. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, traffic is in good shape this hour. Heavy traffic reported in the right lane on westbound 270 between Washington Elizabeth and 170 up in North County. Slow in pockets on northbound 270 between Gravois and Dougherty Ferry. Southbound 55 between 44 and Arsenal, traffic going slow in the left lane. There's a lot of congestion on eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, and downtown 5570 between I-64 and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is crawling. Westbound 64 between Ball Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is crawling there too. Northbound 3 between Monsanto and Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is very heavy. The King Bridge between the landing and the east side, no problems to report. And this traffic being brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In.
Trisonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. You can make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. WGNU News Time is 8:08. The weather forecast for the WGNU listening area calling for some showers and thunderstorms likely later today. We'll have a high in the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tonight as well, with temperatures in the upper 60s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms again most of the day, with temperatures in the low 80s. Looking ahead to Friday, partly cloudy, but no rain is expected. We'll have a high in the lower 80s, so Friday should be the pick day of the rest of the week. 75 degrees here at the studios of WGNU, and we'll get back to more of the wake-up call with Liz Brown in just a moment here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Gil, owner of Gil's Nursery and Landscaping, located at 1318 North Vanaventer. We want to help you beautify your lawns and gardens by offering you an assortment of bedding plants, trees, and shrubs, and bulk materials such as mulch, gravel, rock, and sand. For you pet lovers, we also carry a wide variety of diamond dog food and other pet supplies. Our store hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Stop by. We're at the corner of Vanaventer and Evans, or call 534-9446.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. In the 9 o'clock hour, we have a wonderful discussion I'm excited about. We're going to talk about who goes into the military? And what do the people look like that enlist into the military? What are the black folks? What are the white folks? What are the Asian folks? What are the Hispanic folks? What are the numbers? And what parts of the country are they coming from? I think you're going to be surprised at some of the numbers. And you're going to be surprised at the numbers and where folks are coming from. Do you think New Mexico has a bigger number of folks that enlist into the military? Or Missouri? Where does Missouri stand? Where does California stand? Who are the people that are making up our military, particularly in light of the story that has just come out about that we are that the administration is saying that they are now going to deploy more people to Iraq? What do they look like? Are you going to be surprised at where the numbers come from and what the numbers look like? That's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour when we talk to Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project. And then on Thursday, we have our Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. We have some fun information coming out there. And then at 8 o'clock on Thursday, tomorrow, we're going to have Ministers Roundtable discussion. This is our Justice for Reggie hour. We're going to talk about... is there wiggle room in thou shalt not kill? Is there wiggle room? Because a lot of folks out there, an eye for an eye, my Bible says that. I'm not a Bible expert. I'm not a Bible scholar. We're going to bring in some folks who are, and they're going to talk to us about whether or not there is wiggle room in thou shalt not kill. And then on Friday, we are going to have a special two-hour conversation, black and brown. What's going on in Latin America? What's going on in Africa? Akbar Muhammad is going to join me on the show, and we're going to talk black and brown on the wake-up call on Friday. And next week, there are going to be some wonderful shows, and I'm going to be talking about some of those in just a bit. Great shows coming up for next week, but that's the rundown for this week. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your eye. Real good stuff coming. Real good stuff coming. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Much to talk about. If you don't mind, I want to just take a minute to talk a little bit longer about this, what's going on in the schools, because it's such a big deal. And it is a huge deal. It's an issue. It's the same issue that confronts us with George W. Bush. Credibility, do you tell the truth? And do you have the skills to get the job done? I was thinking as I was driving around a few days ago, that there has been a lowering of expectations of government as a result of this administration. Lowering of expectations. And that people don't expect much out of their government, that they don't expect much out of the appointees. The Treasury job used to be a big deal, that you need to bring experience. And with this administration, it's understood that cronies, they're just as good as anybody else. And it's the same thing that has happened with the St. Louis public schools. As a result of Francis Slay meddling in this in the school business, trying to get the money, there's been a lowering of expectations, and I think that is the plan. To continue to destroy, demolish the St. Louis public school system, to eliminate its credibility, that it's reasonable in people's minds to accept any kind of experimental thing. Yeah, we might as well try charter schools because, shoot, nothing's left. Nothing. We tried everything. We tried everything, so we might as well do the charter schools. Craig Williams has lied to our teachers. Craig Williams has lied to our school board. Craig Williams has lied to the voters. And even if you're cool with lying, let's talk about his competency as a $25,000 a month employee. The school district is in chaos. 1,000 teachers don't have a job. That means 1,000 teachers can't plan for their next year. Tens of thousands of students don't know who their teachers are going to be. And if we don't have 1,000 teachers in the classroom, then that means that this insane plan of every eighth grader is going to be in summer school regardless, that's mandatory. Where are you going to get the teachers for that? Where are you going to get that? And they haven't. They've extended the opportunity for people to teach at summer school. And guess what? People aren't taking Craig Williams up on the offer. What are the odds of that? Because the element of trust has been eliminated. They don't trust, nor should they. If somebody shows you who they are, you're supposed to believe them. Paraprofessionals, secretarial, clerical people have worked three extra days. And this school district says, we can't afford to pay you those 3 days. We're not going to pay you. So what? Do you have trust in a district? What kind of atmosphere are the babies going to be taught in? School board president is supposed to work with their board. And if they don't, then they should be fired. They should be eliminated. $300,000 a year, we can't afford that. Let's just make it, if you can't make it on any other grounds, let's just make it on a fiscal ground. We can't afford that. If we can't afford teachers' aides in our classrooms, we certainly can't afford $300,000 a year for a guy who's never been a superintendent anyplace else in the world. We can't afford that. And this school board needs to act like the majority, act on the issues. It's a political job. You ran on a platform that you were about the business of eliminating. You ran against Francis Slay and his issues and his agenda. All of this the school board majority did. They need to act like that. Good morning, Dr. Good
morning, Dee. Craig Williams is showing us he's the decider, and Slay is saying business as usual. Doesn't matter what you voters put in.
Mm.
We got to go to the school board on 13th of June and go a little crazy. Maybe we need to wear signs. Maybe Craig really don't know how we feel about it.
And we need to tell the board majority that they were elected into office to handle this.
Veronica is really looking kind of funny here.
That we have a majority. We have a majority
but
on the board.
But they're not paying our people any attention.
Mm.
You know?
People need to be at that school board.
We got to be there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dean. And also, don't forget, this Saturday. Don't forget. This Saturday, the inaugural kickoff of the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and I at the Fire Building at Del Mar and Taylor. Go down Del Mar to Taylor, the fire building right down there on Taylor. We're going to start it at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be a weekly discussion. We're going to kick it off with a discussion of what do you look for in elected officials? We're going to have a historical discussion with Senator Bass. And we're also going to have a discussion with an elected official, Maida Coleman. Irene and I are going to be there. We're all going to talk. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to have this discussion. So put it on your calendar. There'll be a continental breakfast there as well every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. See you this Saturday. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. get up, get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. I am constantly amazed at the actions that are being taken on our behalf. 1,500 more U.S. troops, 1,500 people more, have been sent to the front. Weren't we just told that we're real excited about the progress that they're making with training the Iraqi soldiers? Weren't we just told that? That the Iraqi military is stepping up, and as soon as they finish stepping up, we're going to step down? Well, huh? What the, huh? 1,500 more troops have arrived? That's a funny way of stepping down. Oh, that's right. Up is down. Down is up. The 2-Battalion Task Force of the 2nd Brigade, 1st Armored Division, have moved into Iraq to assist in reestablishing the conditions necessary to enable effective local and provincial governance and providing additional security for the people of Al Anbar Province. Huh? Huh? I thought we're spending billions on training the Iraqi people. And we're sending in 1,500 more troops. U.S. commanders, the White House, Iraqi government have spoken of the hopes for some American troops to go home this year, but they say that only that will happen as soon as the Iraqi forces are ready. When people show you who they are, believe them. 1,500 troops. That means 1,500 soldiers. That means 1,500 boys and girls. Have additional people have been sent to the front. We're not stepping down, and we're not stepping down anytime shortly. We're not stepping down. And my email is revolution@lizbrown.com. This show, this station, is streamed at WGNU.net. And also, every hour is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So, if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I spoke a little bit this morning about our My Lai incident, our generation. The Iraqi war generation. 24 Iraqi civilian. Let's not take away the word civilian. Women and children. Men, women, and children killed by Marines, execution style. This happened in November. And guess what? United States Congressman John Murtha, a ranking Democrat on the House Appropriations Defense Committee, said that there has been a cover-up by the Marines of this My Lai incident. This is a serious question of what happened, when it happened, and what was the immediate reaction of the senior officers in the Marine Corps when they began to gain knowledge of it. There has to have been a cover-up of this thing, no question on it. They intend to. I mean, it's so bad that the Republican... The chairman of the Senate Arms Committee, John Warner, raised the question of whether the military chain of command had reacted properly and legally. See, that's the thing. When there is an atmosphere that accepts illegalities, that accepts secrets, that accepts you don't have to tell people what's going on, when there's that kind of atmosphere, people, good things are not planned in the dark. without light and full frontal view. If it's not planned that way, by and large, it's not a good thing. And when secrets are being hatched by our military, more often than not, it's not a good thing. They've kept this from us. And it's like what's happening in the St. Louis Public Schools. There are plans afoot. And they're being made by people that don't have our interest at heart, but have their interest, their monetary, their financial, their greedy interest at heart. It's about the destruction of this school district. And those are the plans that are being made in the dark in the city of St. Louis. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. How about big screen televisions? How about little screen DVD players? How about a tractor? How about a lawnmower? How about some tools? You can get all of that and so much more at the Sears. The Sears in the city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. Everybody is understanding that you need to, you know, be careful about how you spend your gas. Be careful. Go to the city of St. Louis Sears. Get your shop on and you'll still have money in your pocket. Sears. Where else?
Listen to the Angels Watching broadcast, heard here on WGNU 920 AM each Saturday, time 4:30 p.m. and each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Be blessed. Listen to Brother Steve Moore, Mr. Celebrity himself, on WGNU 920 each Saturday at 4:30 and each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Don't miss it.
Come on, knowing everything's going to be all right.
Recently declassified documents indicate Iraq was not the first time American intelligence dropped the ball. India had been working on nuclear activity since the 1950s, and the CIA had been monitoring them. But when India tested bombs in 1974 and again in 1988, the U.S. had no idea they were about to be detonated. Jeffrey Richelson, senior fellow with the National Security Archive Institute, has authored a new book based on recently declassified intelligence documents. It's called Spying on the Bomb, American Intelligence from Nazi Germany to Iran and North Korea. And he'll join us Thursday morning at 9 for a revealing insight into the intelligence community.
And good morning, WGNU. Time is 8:31. Here's another look at traffic brought to you on the half hour by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. Westbound Bercher Boulevard between West Florissant and North Newstead is closed due to road construction. Traffic coming from East Taylor needs to detour to westbound 70, then exit at Shreve and access Bercher. Traffic exiting from eastbound 70 still has access to Bercher Boulevard. Southbound Illinois 111, and that's at Washington Avenue. There's construction in the right lane, and the ramp is closed. In both directions, Highway 367 at Dunn Road, traffic has been switched to the outer roads due to construction. Looking downtown at the bridge complex, the Dr. King Bridge at the Cleeds Landing is in good shape now. Northbound 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is running normal. No problems reported westbound 64 between Ball Avenue and the PSB. Westbound 5570 between Tudor and South Main Street is slow in the left lane. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley is slow. And westbound 270 between Washington Elizabeth and 170, traffic is heavy in the right lane. We have a report of an accident blocking the right shoulder on westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, causing some congestion out there. Also, at northbound 270 and Graboy at I-44, there's a tractor-trailer in the right lane that's involved in an accident. Traffic is jammed back near Highway 30. Traffic brought to you this hour by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. I-44 from Highway 109 west to Pacific is a travel safe zone. Due to construction, you need to buckle up, pay attention, and slow down because tickets are being issued in the I-44 safe zone. And it's all because we want you to arrive alive. Brought to you by MoDOT. WGNU News Time 8:34, the weather forecast. Some showers and thunderstorms are likely later this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. We are at the 78-degree mark here at the studios of WGNU. More of the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown is on the way after these important messages.
Why is healing so central to the theology of Christian Science? How is metaphysical healing of physical problems and other troubles possible? How can one learn more about how to heal effectively? Hear about all this and hear firsthand experiences of healing on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to Inside DC. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, I was proud and glad to hear it, see, rather, that Peter Downs still, he kept his word for his he would continue to entertain the school board watch with you.
Mm.
I'm proud of that. I am a little disappointed that they are not moving in a little swifter direction for being able to control that board.
Yeah,
they. But the lady said that we elected you all to correct the system. That's what we intend for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you have the van that can take you in that direction, but you're just going to have to force it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, I'm so disenchanted. I just don't understand the American people, and basically these is white people. I think you got a lady coming on that's going to kind of break down as to who is in the military, what they look like, et cetera. Is that coming on today?
That is correct. That is Anita Dank. She's with the National Priorities Project.
Okay.
She's coming out on the next hour.
Okay, because when I'm looking at, I don't know how I can't. These people don't show me that they care too much about their children. The babies that are dying over there who haven't had 15 minutes to make decisions on their own. Some of them are there that was just able to buy a pack of cigarettes or can a beer if they wanted to because of age.
Well, desperate people make desperate decisions, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it just helped to. But my point is, you know, these are somebody's babies.
That's correct.
And you just, I think this is just so serious that we are losing them a dozen or more a night and day now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get people sitting back here talking about, well, they protected our country and our safety. I think it's time for some of us, when I say the older people like myself, to pay the audited route. If you think that babies have to die over there for your safety here, then why are you so afraid of somebody that's going to bum you again and what have you? If we have to take that type of route for all those babies dying over there each day, I think it's sick. And we got a group right now programming to try to block women from buying birth controls over in Illinois and don't care nothing about the babies when they get here. You have a nice day, Liz.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, Christine.
I wanted to say, what happens when justice fails and all you have is injustice? I mean, I'm kind of referring to the St. Louis Public Schools. Now, it started off with Francis Slay and his raiders with Bill Roberti, Donetta Clinksdale, Vince Shamel, Ron Jackson, and Bob Archibald. And during their so-called watch, we had our children poisoned. We had a mercury spill that the hazmat team had to come in and do a so-called cleanup. Then we have Airmark, which was apparently partially responsible for the poisoning. Then you had Sodexo, who's supposed to be cleaning the schools for our children, and you have feces on the floor. And then the thing, whole thing, there's been no resolutions, no justice for all of those criminal acts. And now we have Craig Williams, who's continuing to be a usual suspect and continuing on with these policies. I don't know. I heard this is, with the subject, with this criminality, I heard reports that Francis Slay has supposedly bought up some Catholic schools that have been closed down. And my question is, does he have to have permission to do that if he did buy these schools? And whose money did he use if he did purchase these schools?
I don't know. When they say Francis Slay, I suspect it's the St. Louis city that's buying up these properties. I suspect that is what has happened.
And you don't know whether or not he has to have some board permission or whose permission does he have to get to buy these schools?
Well, it would have to be. We are run by the three members. We have the comptroller, we have the president of the board of aldermen, and Francis Slay. They make up a threesome that has to decide to purchasing buildings like that.
Isn't that amazing? When we have had perfectly good school, magnet schools, closed down,
mm-hmm.
schools with air conditioning closed down, and instead of doing something with these schools, they're buying, if this is true, old Catholic public schools, not right. The private schools. It's just, I mean, it's what you said, shock and awe.
All right. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Okay, I can hardly hear you. Good morning.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, you have an awful connection. Try it again.
Okay. I wanted to further question the what the one lady said about getting rid of Williams. What exactly is the procedure? Because
a majority vote, a majority of the board.
That's all it takes?
A four-member vote.
Mm-hmm. And that can be done at any time?
That can be done at any time.
Because I just can't understand why it is that they're allowing him to just stay there and continue. Like the lady said, he has run amok.
Yes, he has. He's run an absolute amok.
But
absolutely
in the process, he's ruining a whole system.
And a school year. And a school year.
And, well, not only that, he's ruining a whole generation of children's education.
That's fact.
Plus all
he's not capable.
Millions of dollars.
He doesn't have the experience, and he's being overpaid. Those are two reasons. And he had a year probationary period. He didn't do it. He's got to go.
And, you know, I couldn't get away with this on my job.
No, you couldn't.
The little two-cent job that I have wouldn't allow me to mess up the way he has.
No, it wouldn't.
And he's being paid $25,000 a month?
A month. A month. It's time to let him go. It's time to let him go.
And if because, okay, it takes a majority vote of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another way even to go through a higher-up state agency, like the state office of education?
I'm unaware of anything like that. It's a board decision. I'm
okay.
Unaware of anything. It takes four people, and we voted four people in for this very reason. If things were not done right, then you got to make the changes. And if you have here's the thing, just regardless of who the superintendent is, if the superintendent is making decisions about firing teachers without telling its board, if the superintendent is lying about closing magnet schools and then sending out letters to parents that the magnet schools have been closed without telling its board, if the superintendent is making those types of decisions, that's not your superintendent. He doesn't know how to work in that's not a team player.
No,
you know,
not at all.
Just fundamentally, that's not a team player. You have the ability to keep or let go or fire a team player like that. You need to let somebody go. You're paying him way too much money for him not to send you an email on these types of decisions. Thanks for your call.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
This past summer, my husband got me to try golfing. And what do you know? I needed a pain reliever for my sore shoulders. Then I convinced him that we should get a dog. That's when I got a headache medicine, too. For different pains, I had different pain relievers. But now, I'm all Advil. Advil's my every pain reliever. Wherever I hurt, Advil works. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
This is Shara Dalen.
Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Pretty good. I believe that regarding Craig Williams, he knew when his new board was elected that his time was going to be limited. I really believe that. And he's just carrying out the plans that the people that hired him hired him to do. So, but the best way I can explain it is you're an employer. You had employees steal from you. You don't wait months to decide to get rid of.
No, you don't.
You may steal the whole store.
No, you don't. You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right. You're
okay.
Absolutely right.
Sure.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Mary.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, I was listening this morning when Peter and Donna was on, and I was really had in my mind what, in contents about Veronica. At the last meeting, I noticed that she stood down on some of the votes. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And I began to wonder, what side is she on now, or did she play Brother Rabbit to get us to think she was getting on the right side and still working with the other group as well?
I think that Veronica ran on, she was not with the Slay's people. Slay's people attacked her daily. Slay's people talked about her like a dog. They treated her like a dog. And she ran against that. And she ran, part of that was because of she experienced up close and personal what those people thought of her and how they treated her. And she ran on that. And we are supposed to hold people to their honor. If you ran on that, then that's what you're supposed to stand on. And we have to make it very clear to her that she is with the majority. And that's how the majority is supposed to act in our best interest. That's why we elected them.
Liz, do you think it could have been a plan to pretend that maybe she was doing all that in order to get back in so she could go on and help them in case the plan
I don't think it was a plan. Absolutely not. I do not believe that it was a plan. I think that they see it as an opportunity to try to reel her back on their side. I see that they see that because they have no other choice. That would be, from their perspective, they think that that would be the person that makes the most sense, that they're not going to get anybody else, so let's go try work on her. And I am hoping that she remembers. And I expect that we need to remind all of the four that the reasons why they were elected. I remember that Slay and them dogged her. They treated her like crap, and that's what they think of her. And she would be well to remember that as well.
Well, keep in mind the question that Troop was answering. I didn't put it into contents, but he was thinking the same way I was when he called this morning to you.
Which question is that?
When he was asking how do those people stand that they can get a majority on that school board now. Didn't Troop answer that question?
Ask that question. I don't understand that, the question that you're saying that he asked.
Well, he was, you know, you need four votes,
mm-hmm.
right?
And let's be clear. 90% of the things that the majority has said that they didn't want hasn't happened. They killed the Kwame piece, the Sodexo giveaway thing, that didn't happen. The furniture thing, that didn't happen. So there have been very few times that they haven't gotten what they wanted to get. So, I mean, we need to be fully disclose everything that has happened there. We need the next thing that needs to happen, though, there needs to be, Craig Williams has to go.
So you're saying the next school board is the 13th?
That is correct.
June.
That is correct.
I'll be there. I'm hoping to see some type of changes or something.
Absolutely.
Decision to make a decision on how where we go from here.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call?
Make a decision on...
Turn your radio down, Kathy.
Four five four oh four hundred
is my phone number. Yes, you're on the wake up call.
Yes, Liz. When the whistleblowers are corrupted themselves, the system breaks down. The House Republicans in the 6 years with Clinton issued 1,811 subpoenas. In the last 5.5 years, they have issued 3 subpoenas. 3. It's like Arthur Anderson auditing Enron. They were in on it. The fix was in, and it's what we got going now with, we're back in MeWe with Cali. That was 71. We're back in the late 60s with LBJ in Vietnam. We're back in the 70s with Nixon and Watergate, and now we have back in the late 70s with inflation roaring in. So the fix is in, Liz, and that's the heart of it. When you don't have people that are watching those with power, this is what you get. We are in a car with a man driving 100 miles an hour and going through every red stoplight. We are on a plane being driven by a blind man.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WG. And you don't forget it. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about our good military. We have an all-volunteer army. We have an all-volunteer navy. We have an all-voluntary military. So that means that people have to step up to the line and say, I want in. We need to take a look at who are the people that are stepping up to the line and saying, I want in, when we have a war going on. Our guest in the next hour will be Anita Danks. She is with the National Priorities Project, and she's going to break down military enlistments by race and ethnicity. You don't want to miss this. That's in the next hour, 454-0400. And don't forget, Saturday, we're starting this. Irene J. Smith and myself, the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. It's going to be a meeting every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 at the Firehouse at Taylor and Del Mar. We're going to be talking about political issues. We're going to be talking about social issues. This is a collective. This is a think tank. This is a town hall meeting. This is a workshop. All of these things every Saturday morning from 9 until 11. The Saturday Morning Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and I will be bringing it to you every Saturday morning. And Continental Breakfast will be served. You don't want to miss it. Put it on your calendar. Make it part of your plan for your weekend. How are you going to start your weekend off? With the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. This Saturday morning starting at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, this is me. I got cut off before. Liz, that guy's got to go. Craig Reagan has got to go. There's no way that we could start a petition to get rid of him?
We don't need a petition. We have a majority vote on the board. They need to vote him off.
Okay, one more thing. On the Internet, there's a spot that says that there are some Mexican gangs going around from Walmart to Target in Washington, D.C., and they're traveling the country targeting African-American women, and they're trying to single them out, and it's daytime and nighttime. They just grab them and kill them. I don't know what it's like, you know, like a gang thing. So I thought I'd say something about that.
But you don't have any... I think we need to be resistant about saying things like that until there's more information out there. That doesn't sound real to me.
Well, it's on the internet.
Well, I'm on the internet every day, and I haven't seen it. Okay.
I haven't seen it. Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fag.
Hi, how you doing, Ms. Brown?
Kevin, how are you?
I haven't been able to talk to you. I've been on the internet, too. But I love what you're doing with this Federal Reserve thing.
Oh, I'm excited about the show, too.
I mean, the Federal Reserve thing is at the heart of everything that I've been telling you about the Illuminati. I love you, and you have a nice day.
All right, take care of yourself, Kevin. We're going to end this hour, folks, and don't forget, in the next hour, we're going to find out who's volunteering in our voluntary military in the next hour. Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project. She will be breaking down military enlistments by race and ethnicity. Where are they coming from? What part of the country? Is there a part of the country? We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
All of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Coming up on 9 o'clock, stay tuned next for news from ABC and then the final hour of the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown for this Wednesday. And the next hour, don't forget breaking down military enlistments by race and ethnicity with Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project. We have 79 degrees in the Gateway City with a chance for some showers and thunderstorms later today. It's 9 a.m.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You stop, we'll talk. That's what the U.S. is promising Iran if Tehran agrees to stop its nukes program. ABC's Ann Compton.
The Bush administration is reversing course and offering to hold talks with Iran and other allies if Iran agrees to stop its nuclear enrichment. The dramatic offer to be announced by Secretary of State Rice, not the president, represents a new initiative. President Bush did telephone allies, including Russia, Germany, and France, to share news before this is made public. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The new Iraqi prime minister has declared a month-long state of emergency in the southern city of Basra. Violence has been on the increase there for weeks. Two Iraqi women, meanwhile, shot to death after speeding through a U.S. military checkpoint without stopping.
According to reports, a car carrying at least two women, one of them pregnant, approached a checkpoint or a prohibited area and failed to stop in spite of signals. So eventually the U.S. troops opened fire, it says, to disable the vehicle. They found later that two women were dead, including the woman who was apparently about to give birth.
ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad. President Bush's picture to run the CIA will be sworn in today. General Michael Hayden is the first military man to run the spy agency in almost 30 years. The president says the economy is strong and it's growing, but polls show two out of three Americans don't agree. They say their incomes simply aren't catching up with rising prices.
The American consumer is strapped. We're making more, but we're paying more for everything from gasoline to our rent to our mortgage to basic household products. And we're starting to cry uncle.
ABC News financial contributor Melody Hobson. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 35 points and the NASDAQ is ahead 9 points in early going. This is ABC News.
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. So I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
Top three reasons I see a storm door in my future. Number three, it's the perfect picture frame for our front door. Number two, feeling the cool summer nice breeze without mosquitoes. And number one, I can get an Anderson storm door installed for $57.
The Home Depot has your storm door. Right now, get any Anderson-branded storm door installed through us, and basic installation is only $57. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through June 7th at U.S. Home Depot stores only. Additional charges may apply. Savings vary by market. See store for license numbers.
We hear all too often about men who are not good fathers, but what about the ones who are? ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey took a look at a report that just came out.
Baby's a beauty.
Doting fathers.
We think so, but we're a little biased.
Of all types.
Oh, Lisa, you and your story.
Have been depicted on TV for years.
I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out.
But this is the first comprehensive government look at men as parents. The study finds the more men are educated, the fewer children they want, but dote on them more. The National Center on Health Statistics also says most fathers, 98% across all spectrums, agree the rewards of being a parent are worth it. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Gehenna. G-E-H-E.
Yeah, it's harder to spell than I thought it might be. The National Spelling Bee is underway. He should know how to do it. He's one of 275 kids taking part. The winner gets $37,000 in cash and prizes. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a confessed meth cook was given extra prison time for putting his kids at risk. James Hayes was sentenced yesterday to 27 years in federal prison for leading a meth ring in Jefferson and St. Louis counties. Sentence included an extra 10 years for endangering his four children. The youngest of Hayes' children, a four-week-old girl, died in January of 2003. The cause of her death was never determined, but investigators found trace amounts of meth on her pillow. In other news, two area soldiers killed in action this year are honored on the National Security Agency's Memorial Wall. The names of Staff Sergeant Edwin Dazachacon of Shiloh and Sergeant Amanda Pinson of Lima were unveiled yesterday during the NSA's annual Memorial Day observance. Dazachacon was serving as a linguist in Afghanistan when he was killed by a roadside bomb in February. Pinson, a cryptologist, died near Baghdad in March. And a soldier stationed at Fort Leonard Wood is dead from injuries suffered in Iraq. 24-year-old Private Caleb Lufkin of Knoxville, Illinois, was injured when a roadside bomb exploded near his vehicle in Baghdad on May 4th. Lufkin died of his injuries last week at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And finally, in Hillsboro, work is underway to widen a 1.4-mile stretch of Route 21. Judy Wagner, an area engineer for the Missouri Department of Transportation, says the narrow stretch of Route 21 from Hayden Road to Route A has been the site of several fatal accidents. Wagner says with 16,000 vehicles traveling on that stretch of roadway every day, the wider road will do a lot to ease traffic and increase safety. The $14 million project will create a new four-lane divided highway with new interchanges. The project is expected to be completed by the fall of 2007. And that's an update of WGNU News brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota Owners. Does the corner repair shop use genuine Toyota parts? Your Toyota dealer does. Through July, visit participating Toyota dealers and receive an oil change and multi-point inspection for only $24.95. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
WGNU News time is now 9:06. Here's our final look at traffic brought to you by Captain D's. We have a report of a vehicle on fire on northbound 270 between Dougherty Ferry and Manchester. The two right lanes are blocked and traffic is starting to jam up past Dougherty Ferry. Westbound 44 at Highway 109, there is a construction sign lying in the left lane, and it's causing some traffic problems out there. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and 79, traffic is in good shape. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley, traffic is getting better. Downtown on the Poplar Street Bridge complex, traffic is getting back to normal there. Also, westbound 44 at the Gray Summit exit, that's closed due to construction work. Motorists will have to detour to the 44 interchange at Pacific or to the west of Gray Summit. The on-ramp to westbound 44 is also closed. And I-44 on either side of Highway 109, all traffic has been switched to the eastbound lanes due to road construction. Two lanes are open in each direction. Traffic being brought to you this hour by Captain D's. The ultimate southern catfish experience means only one thing, Captain D's. It's fried up flaky for just $3.99 with fries, coleslaw, and hush puppies only at Captain D's. WGNU News Time is now 9:08. The weather forecast, showers and thunderstorms for today. The high in the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, periods of showers and thunderstorms off and on with a high in the low 80s. We have 79 degrees here at the studios of WGNU. More of the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown is coming up next, and we will get to that right after these important messages.
Been conspiracy hunting lately? This is Decent Guy Dunn. Tune in every Monday through Friday, midnight till 2 for The Conspiracy Hunter.
Looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil. Taz. Taz, you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. My wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides and family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, young brothers, help me sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, young brothers, help me sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the blow that the low made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And please don't forget that this show is streamed. Every show on WGNU is streamed at WGNU.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get your hour. And I just want to share with you a troubling story that came out over Reuters yesterday. Troubling from the perspective of, well, in the context of all of the press releases, news conferences, presidential statements that we have been exposed to, or that have been foisted upon us, interrupting our television time to tell us, you know, don't look at that man behind the curtain. There is no man behind the curtain. The war is going as it should be. And my personal favorite is, we, as soon as they stand up, we will stand down. It's a great pairing of words. It's a great putting together of a phrase. It's a great turn of phrase. It's great PR. And it fits into the strategy of the execution of this war. All news is good news. All news should be good news. Things are going as according to plan. Things are going well. And as they stand up, we will stand down. Okay? Every single one of these carefully crafted phrases that are foisted upon us, we have a responsibility to dissect them, or at least to put them in context of the world of reality that exists beyond these statements. And our reality check, if you will, of this, we will stand down, as they stand up, we will stand down. Now, the reality check for that is a story that came out of Reuters from yesterday. More U.S. troops arrive in Iraq, Baghdad, some 1,500 more U.S. troops. I underscore more, that's M-O-R-E, more. Troops have arrived in Iraq to help with the war against the Sunni Arab rebels, we're being told, including the Al-Qaeda Islamic militants in the western desert province of Anbar. Two battalion task force, 2nd Brigade, 1st Armored Division have moved into Iraq to, and I quote, assist in reestablishing the conditions necessary to enable effective local and provincial governance and providing additional security for the people of Al-Anbar province, end quote. Is that standing down? Is there standing up? I'm not an army strategist, but I think the answer is safely no. So as we critically analyze, as we look at the world as it really exists, despite press releases and primetime news conferences breaking into Oprah's Legends Ball conferences, we have a responsibility to do a reality check. We're standing up, standing up, standing up, standing up, standing up in this all-volunteer army, all-volunteer navy, all-volunteer. And we need to, since we seem to be standing up more and more and more, because we can't stand down, because they ain't going to stand up. We need to take a look at who when I say the we, I guess I mean the royal we, because I'm not going. and a whole lot of Americans aren't going. We need to take a look at the those that are doing this. What do the recruits look like? And we're going to focus on the military. Who is doing the standing up? And why? In order to facilitate that conversation, our guest this hour is Anita Danks with the National Priorities Project. She is joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts. She's going to be helping us break down military enlistments by race and ethnicity. Anita, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am pretty well.
Very good.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. I am outstanding. Despite this troubling story, 1,500 more troops.
I think troubling, but not surprising.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so let's talk about, what do these folks look like? Where are they coming from? And what does it mean when we look at the places where they went to get them?
Well, we gathered the data from the armed forces.
So you got their data.
Yes, about the recruits in 2004 and also 2005, but we're still processing that data and haven't released it yet until we're finished, cleaning it up and making it available.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found, isn't totally shocking. I guess that's the word for the day. What's not surprising, we did find that low and middle income neighborhoods are overrepresented as far as recruits go. So when we look at high income neighborhoods. And I'm going to define high income by 125% of the median household income. So not a lot above the median household income, just a little bit above the median household income. All of those neighborhoods are underrepresented. So it goes back to the age-old story of as we have a volunteer army, perhaps young people who have more limited economic opportunities are more likely to enlist.
Well, let's do some race breakdowns. When we look at the top 100 counties, because you all did this, you all looked at
right.
The top 100 counties, and you ranked them by Black and Hispanic Army recruits. What are some of the things that we discover when we look at it like that?
Well,
where were these counties? Well, where were the states that these counties came out of?
Well, if we look at Hispanic Army recruits, of the top 100 counties, 50 were in three states: California, Texas, and Florida. Those three states make up over half of all of the Hispanic Army recruits. And the top 100 counties now, just since. Usually we don't know these figures. There's over 3,000 counties, okay? And some have small populations, some have large populations. But the top 100 counties for Hispanic recruits make up 70% of Hispanic recruits. So we're looking at their Hispanic recruits are coming from very particular areas.
And why can we answer the why of that?
Well, some of that is the concentration of Hispanic populations, that they are concentrated in particular areas. Like I mentioned, the three states before, California, Texas, and Florida, all have very high populations of Hispanics, whereas some other places like Montana don't really have very high population of Hispanic recruits. And within states, Hispanics are also concentrated in particular counties. But what also happens is there tends to be certain overtime recruiters are more successful in some areas. So if they're more successful with getting Hispanic recruits, they're going to go back to the same locations. And I should say, what's also interesting about Hispanic recruiting is that their proportion of recruits has been growing in the last few years. And the reason for that is because the Pentagon has had a very specific campaign to recruit more Hispanics.
And also, isn't there an incentive now, a citizenship incentive added to the mix?
Well, so far we don't have concrete data on all of that, but there are a lot of rumors and discussions about, well, is this playing a role that recruits are being promised that they can gain citizenship? You know, I've also heard that there's recruiting going on in Mexico as opposed to, you know, in the U.S. We don't have any numbers yet on that kind of what's happening with promises of citizenship and
do we know if that is something that the military can make? Can the military actually promise that to someone?
I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay, well, let's look at
But that doesn't mean they don't promise it either.
Well, they tell them a whole lot of things. Yeah.
You know, it's two different questions about whether they can and whether they do.
And the proof of whether they do comes from statements from people that they said it to them, or...
Yes, and you know, this goes to, to general discussions about recruiting tactics over the last few years. While our organization, National Priorities Project, doesn't specifically research that, we work with people who do and who are looking at that side of the picture, and there are lots of stories. Even the Pentagon has admitted after they looked into the matter that recruiters are using quite heavy-handed tactics, and that there are cases, and this isn't to say every recruiter is doing this, but there are numerous cases of recruiters lying about the types of benefits and also about what the recruits are signing and if they've really joined or not, and putting pressure on them, saying they actually already signed when they didn't sign to join, and so on. I mean, it's a complicated matter, but it's very clear that what is going on is that the military is having a hard time meeting its recruiting goals. We know that the Iraq War is not very popular. It's not very popular with parts of the population, and they're increasing the number of recruiters. They're increasing junior ROTC programs in high school. They're increasing enlistment bonuses. So they're doing a lot of stuff to really recruit more recruits.
And well, so let's talk about black folks, because it's my understanding that the numbers compared to other wars, the numbers of black men and women that are joining the military is down. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Blacks are still overrepresented in the Army, and as recruits in 2004, blacks are overrepresented in the Army. However, the proportion has dropped, and I think, you know, if we're looking for an explanation for that, we know with polls about the support for the Iraq War, in particular in polls done on the black population, they have there's much less support.
Yes.
For the Iraq War than in the white population.
Absolutely.
And I suspect that's having an impact on recruiting, that young blacks are just saying, no, we don't, you know, we don't want to do this.
Well, and also there's the great deal of clarity of understanding and skepticism of the purpose and the impact and the need for this war is articulated in the community of African descent.
Absolutely.
Poll after poll has demonstrated that. But when we look at where people of African descent, we said that there are three states for Hispanics. That's not true of people of African descent. It's spread out over more states than that. Talk to us about that.
Right. But, again, we can look at the top 100 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And the top 100 counties account for more than half of all black recruits
mm-hmm.
in 2004. 50 of those top 100 counties are in six states, and those states are Georgia, Virginia, New York, Florida, Texas, and California. And those six states account for more than a third of the more than 10,000 black Army recruits in 2004.
And you also looked at the high schools that and you ranked the top 50 high school by number of black recruits and Hispanic recruits and white recruits. Why did you do that? Why the focus on the high schools?
Well, there is a lot of people out there who are working on recruitment education. They're trying to make sure wherever the military is targeting for recruiting that there is somebody there also giving them the facts about what, you know, what signing up for the military actually involves. And they're very interested in high schools and colleges. So, you know, we're just making the information available. But what we can see is that you can tell where the if you look, and again, all of this information is available on our website at nationalpriorities.org for anyone to look at. But what you can see about the colleges, we're mostly talking about the high numbers of recruits are coming from colleges and a lot of community colleges in some of the southern states. I would also say that St. Louis Community College is in the for number of black recruits is in the top 50.
Mm-hmm. And can you hold that
sure,
thought, please?
Sure.
Because
sorry.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Anita Danks. She is with the National Priorities Project. She's joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts. We are talking about we're doing a breakdown on the military enlistments, and we're doing the breakdown based upon race and ethnicity. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
For much too much, why could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Join me Wednesday, May 31st, when my guest will be Dr. Jorge Hirsch, the professor of physics at University of California, San Diego. We'll be discussing the threat of a nuclear attack against Iran. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, Wednesday, May 31st, 5 p.m., only on WGNU.
This is Pastor Ariel Williams of the Oil of God Ministries, located at 4300 Gaynor, right here in St. Louis, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 6:30 to start your weekend with something old and something new. We bring you a mixture of old school gospel plus the latest sounds, as well as church calendar news and a word from God to help you be empowered and victorious in Christ. Every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920. WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
tune in to Rasta Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Rasta Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgnu.net, Rasta Resolutions.
Professor Stephen Yates of the University of South Carolina is our guest Tuesday morning at 7. He recently wrote a disturbing dissertation on a plan the Bush administration is pushing to merge Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into a single regional government, or a Western version of the European Union. It would create a huge free trade zone that would allow goods and people to move freely across borders, effectively doing away with domestic citizenship. How would such different political systems work as one entity? Some points to ponder Tuesday morning at 7 with Professor Stephen Yates, right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom. Peace and all the great things that we take advantage of. Once I fed the homeless, I'll never forget. Look upon their faces as I treated them with respect. This is my
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Anita Danks of the National Priorities Project. She's joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts. We're breaking down the makeup, the racial makeup of recruits in the United States Army in the year 2004. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking about high schools and community colleges and the top 50.
Right. And you asked me earlier what were the reasons we put this kind of information up. And I think there's another major reason than the one I mentioned. And that is, if we look at the top 50 high schools, and the top 50 high schools for black recruits, account for nearly 10% of the recruits. 47 out of the 50 have junior ROTC programs of one type or another. In this particular case, we're talking about the top 50 high schools for Army recruits, for black Army recruits, and the junior ROTC program may be for the Air Force or the Navy, but frequently for the Army. But I think it shows what the presence, and by the way, some of them have more than one junior ROTC program. Mm. And, you know, we're looking at these programs being expanded across the country into more and more high schools. It shows what the presence of the military is in our education system, and the impact of that is that nearly half of junior ROTC graduates, meaning they signed up for a course in high school to be part of the junior ROTC, nearly half enlist in the military.
Mm.
So it's a way of leading them in.
When you say that there is going to be an increase nationwide, who makes that decision? Is this an individual school district decision? Are there incentives that are being offered from the government for this to happen? How is that increase occurring?
Well, the Pentagon leads by deciding that they want to indeed expand the programs into more high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but for individual high schools, it's a process of negotiation.
But there's money to be had in the different high schools as a result of these decisions.
Right, because the high school does get stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They basically get more teachers out of it. They get some additional resources. So for, you know, we know we hear all the time about budget cuts and in the schools, and a lot of schools, you know, it's not true in for every single school, but it's true for many, many schools. They've been laying off teachers. They've been cutting back on equipment or book purchases or whatever, and they're having budget problems. And this is those schools have an economic incentive to get a junior ROTC program because they do get some financial resources from that program.
Is there a connect between the schools that have the ROTC programs, junior ROTC programs, a number of junior ROTC programs, and the economic environment of the neighborhoods that those schools are located, where those schools are located?
Are these
upper income neighborhoods where the schools where the programs are, or does that go with income as well?
We don't have an exact analysis on that, but what we can say looking at the schools, well, sure, there's, you know, a few in higher income areas where we know about where they're expanding and so on and so forth is, like, for example, Chicago and some of the poor neighborhoods in Chicago, there's expansion of junior ROTC programs there, and we do see a lot of expansion in some inner cities.
Well, about the colleges, because, again, you looked at colleges and you spoke briefly about the junior college presence. What about in colleges? When we look at where they're finding black recruits, what colleges are they going to, and what states are they in where they're getting black recruits out of college?
Well, one of them is one of the top 50 colleges is St. Louis Community College.
Outside of the JCOs, the junior colleges, so,
yeah.
The four-year universities, the four-year colleges, are we finding where would we find a good presence of black folks that are enlisting out of four-year colleges?
Well, we haven't separated out the types of colleges mm-hmm. and universities just because of, you know, we haven't done that. But because what we do see is that what happens in general is that the colleges are a lot of the community colleges. But we do see some of the state universities. They are, like, Alabama State University is number four. So
I'm looking at Norfolk State University in Virginia, and Fayetteville State University in North Carolina.
Right, in North Carolina.
And then Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University in Florida, obviously
right.
Florida. Is there anything to make out of that?
Well, certainly the southern states within this list, you know, and you can keep going down at Alabama, South Carolina, North mm-hmm. Carolina, Alabama, South Carolina, St. Phillips, which is in Texas, Broward Community, which is in Florida, Miami-Dade Community, which is in Florida.
The same thing.
You can see that the some of the southern states for the black black recruits from colleges are happening in the southern states.
And so we're seeing it across the board, whether it's recruitment out of high school, whether it's recruitment out of a JCO, a junior college, or recruitment out of a university, the same states seem to be showing themselves. That seems to be
yes,
the same.
Yes, and you can say that the South is slightly overrepresented in the military in general and in the Army.
When we overlay income on that, is the South overrepresented, or is it simply because that you're going to find more poorer pockets in the South? Can we say that?
I think when you combine it with other, you know, analyses of income, what really does appear is that there's income probably and the opportunity in general to get a good, you know, a good paying job out of high school is more limited in those areas, and that's why we're seeing more recruitment.
Where are the white recruits coming from?
Where are the white recruits coming from?
Because we know that you talked about three states where the concentration of Hispanics, the five states where the concentration of recruits of African descent. Where are they getting the white recruits? I'm looking at your number of total. We're talking about in 2004, there were approximately 40,536 white Army recruits, and starting with at the top of the list is Arizona.
Yeah, I think one of the areas in particular, if we look at in general, let's see. Well, I have the top 100 counties.
If we look at states,
what's the highest recruiting state? It's Montana. So it's some of the western and very rural, and this is some of the southern states are going to have high recruitment rates for whites too.
Okay,
but again, we do see a pattern of opportunity.
And Anita, I need you to hold that thought. We'll come back and talk some more about this, but we have to take a break. I'm talking to Anita Dang. She's with the National Priorities Project. She is joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts. We're talking about, okay, we have an all-volunteer Army. What do those volunteers look like by race and by ethnicity? I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Please don't forget, on Saturday, our very first Saturday morning Urban Institute meeting, Irene J. Smith and myself are going to be talking to y'all. It's like a combination of a think tank, workshop, town hall meeting, 9 o'clock at the Fire Building at off of Del Mar and Taylor. 9 o'clock, the Urban Institute. Be there.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? How about a big screen television? How about a teeny tiny little DVD player? Well, they have all of that at Sears, and you don't have to drive to the mall. You don't have to drive to West County. You don't have to drive to South County. It's right here in the city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. The best deals, the best customer service, and the best location. Look, get your shop on. It's the weekend. I know you have some shopping in you. Get on down to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, and when you see Jerome Williams, you tell him I told you to.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is it time to make a change?
Tune in to Sort It Out with professional organizers Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m., and we'll share with you everything we know from our expertise in organizing, be it life, home, or business, to us motivating and empowering you to go after your dreams and goals.
We are known as the dynamic duo, and we can rescue you from your organizing challenges. We want to encourage you to get real with your life and regain control.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9. People you know talking about the issues affecting your life.
Danny Glover, good morning.
I know people listen to your show because you living my life as an African and loving it. I want people to think about this war in terms of the effect that it has on the soldiers that we have on it, in terms of the effect that it has on the region, in terms of the effect that it has on funding of programs in this country, programs like health care, programs around social services, programs around education. That's what I want people to think about when they think about this war.
Don't miss the award-winning Wake-Up Call weekday morning 6 to 10 on WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Anita Dang. She's with the National Priorities Project, and she's joining us from Northampton, Massachusetts. We are breaking down the military enlistments by race and ethnicity. Welcome back, Anita. And where is your website for people to get verification of these numbers?
That's nationalpriorities.org.
And let me get to a caller or two. Dimitri, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Liz. Our president proudly proclaims to the world that our military is all volunteer. But the way recruiters go out and target certain segments of the population, put increased pressure on them, isn't recruiting a soft synonym for the word draft? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Well, I guess some people call the volunteer army also as being an economic draft, because you know there has been this correlation with income and opportunity, and
well, your numbers prove that out, don't they?
Right.
So, because when we look at the places where, and this is across all ethnic lines, we were talking about where recruiters are going to find the white recruits, and is West Virginia well represented?
West Virginia
or Virginia?
Virginia, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we look at white recruits, a few of the top counties, at least. When we consider the population, so we call this a recruitment rate, recruits per 1,000 white youth. Petersburg City, Virginia, Sullivan County, Pennsylvania, Erie County, Kansas are the top three counties. Another factor, undeniably, especially when we look at Erie County, Kansas, there's a large military base there, and we do see there's some places where there's large military bases. The military is very much part of the economy, and we usually see higher recruitment rates in those areas as well.
One of the things that your numbers show that I thought was pretty kind of interesting is black folks were overrepresented even when you raised the income.
Well, actually, one of the things that I think is really interesting about that particular point is that when we look at neighborhoods with median household incomes at or above $60,000, so again, this is, you know, the median household income, the comparable median household income in our in our research is nearly 48,000. So it's a little bit above the median household income. Neighborhoods at 60 or above are underrepresented. However, if you are black, you only have a 1 in 20 chance of living in one of those neighborhoods. But you are twice as likely as a white young person if you are living in one of those neighborhoods. You are twice as likely as your white counterpart to sign up for the Army.
Okay, there has to be an explanation for that. What, any theories?
We have no concrete explanation for that. The only thing, we have a couple of speculations. One is that for many African Americans, joining the military has historically been a way of advancing economically in American society.
Are we breaking this down in terms of enlistment or you know, officer versus enlisted person?
This is for enlisted.
Okay.
This is for enlisted. But I guess another, you can also, when you're talking about a well-to-do neighborhood, that doesn't mean that everybody, so say the neighborhood has median household income of $60,000. Well, that sounds pretty good, but that means, you know, half of the population has an income below that.
Mm-hmm.
So we could also be looking at some of what's going on within those neighborhoods.
So it may still be economically consistent despite the income of that, the average income of that particular community.
That's correct. And when we look at statistics and we're looking at the shape of the curve overall for by the income distribution, because of the statistical shape of the curve, if you will, we can also suspect, statistically speaking, that there's a similar shape going on within neighborhoods, so that it might be the relatively lower income people within those neighborhoods who are more likely to.
And are we talking about neighborhoods or are we talking about cities?
Well, what we're talking about, we use the term neighborhood, but really it's defined by the zip code.
Okay.
So in a small town like the one I live in, which has several thousand people, but it has one zip code, so that would be one area. In a big city, you have many, many zip codes, so we're taking each of those zip codes.
Well, in a place where a city, for instance, well, let me ask this question: are there any cities where the average, where there are several zip codes, and the average income is above 60?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Because I'm just trying to, because I know in the city of St. Louis there are many different zip codes. And you can, in some cases, you can assess some of the income components to that zip code more effectively than I guess you could in a small town. So I'm still trying to figure out the economic, if there's an economic piece to black folks in higher income zip code areas.
Well, that is a really good question, and if anyone wants, they can go, you know, online to our website and look up all the St. Louis zip codes
mm-hmm.
and see what numbers they come up with.
Okay. Let me get to another caller with a question, please. XX Peter?
You know, we've seen it here, a program in a school district, an Army school district, where this summer, during the summer months, they're offering a food program, like a free lunch, but a free meal program. So is this another way how the recruiters are setting up the school district where...
Well, they who are offering a free school program?
Normandy School District.
Okay.
During the summer months, they're offering this free school. So we're wondering if we're going to see a lot of recruiting activity in the school district come fall.
I don't understand the correlation that you're making.
Well, you know how I said that if government said if you take money, government money, then you must allow the recruiters into your school district.
Mm-hmm.
So this program has to be government funded.
But all school districts are government funded. They all public schools take money from the government.
But we're starting to. I never have seen a food program during the summer months. We see them during school months.
Okay.
Not the summer months.
Okay. In the city, it's been going on for quite a while. Every summer, there's been a food program.
I'm not aware of it. Thank you very much.
All right. But to Peter's observation about more and more recruitment opportunities, are we going to see more and more ways that they're going to try to penetrate into our public schools, Anita?
Well, you know, and firstly, I wouldn't say there's necessarily any correlation with the food program that school district may have just been able to get money for the food program, and that I'm sure is different. But again, you know, we see the expansion of the junior ROTC programs in high schools, and even some junior high schools have those programs. What in general, what we see with, remember the good old No Child Left Behind Act of 2002, I believe it was?
We're still suffering from it.
Yeah, well, in that act, which wasn't well known when Congress was voting on it and people were talking about getting more money, but, you know, of course, more mandates, a very controversial act. But the thing what people didn't always talk about at the time was there was something in there that said the schools have to provide their student lists
right
to the military.
Right.
And they have to.
Right.
I mean, or they have to forfeit their federal funds, and no school wants to do that. But, you know, parents can take their child's name off the list. But it was, the No Child Left Behind Act was another way of sort of integrating the military a little more.
Or penetrating the military,
with our schools. Yeah, penetrating.
I want to thank you very much. Could you give us the website one more time, please?
It is nationalpriorities.org.
Anita
Danks. We have lots of information more than just on military recruiting. Thank you so much.
Anita Danks, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Please don't forget on Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Fire Building on Taylor at Taylor and Taylor and Del Mar. You need to come on down. Irene J. Smith and myself are going to be doing a Saturday.